about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this.
One, two, three, four.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Here we go.
With your given size, aren't the most like mundane daily activities essentially extreme sports? I've heard rumors that you have pound for pound the largest penis in Hollywood. Is this true?
It happens.
What a waste of testicles you are.
Whoa! I know how babies are made, and I am so not in the mood for porn right now.
And now,
let me tell you something, sisters. Checking IDs is essential because these boys will lie.
Our feature presentation.
That is true, by the way. That is just straight true.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. All new Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening? Tuesday morning.
It is Tuesday, the 15th of February. Ola, I'm very, very sick, but I am.
Oh, no.
I'm quarantined, so you guys don't have to worry about it. That's the beautiful thing about this arrangement is that I can't get you sick this time.
Boy, it seems like it's really going around.
Yeah,
really.
Alex was sick yesterday.
I was sick at the end of last week, and Ralph was sick. Yeah,
I don't know where it's all coming from, but I naturally and maybe incorrectly attributed to the flying that I did, the three airplanes that I was on the last few days, because you know that's just a petri dish for whatever everybody's got. That recirculated air. I mean, you're pretty much begging to get it when you go on a plane.
Yeah, but our singles party was a petri dish too.
Well,
there's
some
different kinds.
Too.
Yeah,
that was an STD petri dish.
That's a better bet.
So I should check down there too, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
And ibuprofen I have had success with in combating a sore throat, but if I take too much ibuprofen, then it really starts to make my head hurt on top of everything else that's already going on.
You're going to think I'm kidding.
It's a balance.
You're going to think I'm kidding.
You got an answer? You got a tip?
For a sore throat? Yeah.
Okay.
Gargle. No.
Oh.
With vodka.
Are you
what
serious?
Did you do?
What?
What did you do? Gargle with vodka.
Really?
That's what I do.
Tell me why.
Because there's alcohol in it, and that helps kill the germs. And it actually, I don't know scientifically how it works, but it seems to work. I mean, it seems to clear it out and kind of burn through what you've got. And then you have the option of swallowing or spitting.
Let's make a note to run this one by Dr. Drew on Thursday, too. And see
That's
what
fine.
He thinks about
I'd like to hear what he has to say, because I've been doing it for a long time. Pretty much every day, even when I don't have throat problems.
And then you don't just, have throat.
Right.
Right.
That's just drinking, Kevin. That's not treating a sore throat.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but I do when I have a sore throat. I gargle. I do. And it works. I think it's just the alcohol and it kills germs or whatever.
Now, that's interesting. Of course, I wouldn't know how to even find vodka, but I understand what you're saying. What
don't
about
know how to find vodka?
What? Well, I'm just saying, I don't even know where they sell it.
Everywhere?
Everywhere?
Not in the state of Washington. You can only buy alcohol from the government in the
Get
state
it
of
at
Washington.
A liquor store, Bean.
They have they don't have liquor stores here.
They
what?
Don't?
What are you talking
you
about?
You can only buy alcohol in the state of Washington from the government. They have ABC stores where they set up the government sells alcohol. You can't go into a supermarket or anything like that and buy alcohol. You can only buy beer and wine, right?
Never heard of that.
Yeah, it's other states are like that as well.
Most states don't sell liquor in like just supermarkets and stuff. Only California is one of the rare states that does.
But their liquor
California
stores.
Goes for it, man.
There are liquor stores
that's
around.
True, yeah.
I mean,
not in Washington,
and that's not a government run. Not in Washington.
Yeah, they only have government. I mean, they are liquor stores, but they're run by the government, and they are few and far between.
I knew there were states like that, but not Washington.
Yeah,
I'll send you some.
There you go. Send them some bacon flavored.
Yeah.
And what about emergency, by the way? Because remember that big study that came out last year that said it's a scam, it doesn't work, it's a ripoff and stuff? I feel like I have had success with it. I don't know whether it works or not, but I still do it every time I start to feel like
I
this.
I stopped doing it.
Because once that study came out?
Because of the report, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I
feel like
know.
It helps.
It's possible.
But it can't hurt.
The placebo thing is pretty strong. So
I think
if you
so
really
too.
Think it helps, do it.
Maybe we should talk to Dr. Mo, find out what he says. Or way off base, or if that stuff actually works a little bit, and
maybe
talk to them about my drinking habit or whatever it is.
This is the cold and flu season, and you are right; it is absolutely going around. There's no question. So, anyway, so if I'm foggier than usual today, I apologize.
Me too. Me too, because I had a stroke.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that.
I can say that. I said I did.
Nope, you can't, you're not allowed to say it. You're not allowed to say anything that might suggest that you're aware of a story in the news that we're not allowed to talk about.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm saying I had a stroke.
You can't even say the words CBS anymore because, God forbid, somebody thinks we've heard of that story. You with me? You feel me?
Yeah.
You down?
Definitely.
You picking up what I'm putting down?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm saying I don't know what you're talking about because I'm just speaking about myself.
I understand.
All right. Got a story for us or will you talk about the show?
Well, I have a story. It's awesome, but I feel like I've already eaten up all of our time with my BS. So I'll save Beauty Queen Stripped of Crown for eating one too many tacos for tomorrow. But don't let me forget because it is pretty awesome.
Let's do that. We have time. Let's do that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder or in the hands of a Texas pageant judge. 17-year-old Dominique Ramirez is the reigning Miss San Antonio, but not for long. She is actually suing to keep her crown from the pageant board who wants to strip away her title. This is a great story. As the article goes on to say, what did she do? Pose nude? No. Sex tape? Snort coke? No, no, no. She ate one too many tacos. The spokesperson for Brexer County, Linda Woods, on the pageant board there, says, as Miss San Antonio reigning queen, she has to live up to our rules and regulations and the standards of our contract. She was doing a photo shoot and asked to wear her wardrobe from the competition, but it no longer fit her. I told her, we need you to get on an exercise program. We need to be able to, you need to be ready to compete for Miss Texas, just like any elite athlete, by the way.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready for the dimensions? This is the reason I was dying to get to this story is because let's see what her statistics are, and you tell me if she's too fat to be Miss San Antonio at 17 years old. She's 5'8 and weighs 129 pounds, and she's a size 2.
What?
That's insane. Are you kidding?
The pageant director said, I told her, get off the tacos, get off the chips and the soda. She's 17, you know, and that's what these kids eat.
5'8", 129.
Size 2. Psycho Mike?
Yeah.
Look through the prism of your freak show weight mind. What do you think?
That is, it's clearly not overweight. Now, I have to say that if they want her to be size 0 and 5'8", 90 pounds, that's their choice, though. And if they make those rules... it clearly at the beginning of the competition she has to abide by them. But that size, by the way, those dimensions, she is clearly not overweight. I mean, she's very thin.
wins the pageant at and they don't say in the article how much weight they allege she has gained, but it was obviously significant enough that now this discussion is happening. So
I wonder
she wins.
If they put a number on it. I wonder if they say
that's what I was curious.
You can't weigh over fill in the blank.
Because well, when don't you're they that small, if you put on 5 pounds, you can see it.
That's true.
Don't they have that for cheerleaders and things like that? They have and flight attendants even, I think, at
ballet
some point,
dancers, people in Cirque du Soleil. I mean, there are certain athletes. Yeah, I mean, if she signed up for being in this pageant and knew that she was going in to be Miss Texas and this was part of the deal, then it sounds crazy, but she should be able to abide by the laws that they set down for.
It does seem rough for a 17-year-old at that size to now be told, essentially, whether it's for the job or not, somebody, an adult, is telling her, you're too fat.
And by the way, if she's 5'8", and she gains 5 pounds, you wouldn't know it. I disagree. Did you say she was?
Yeah,
you
could just see because it? She's I don't think, so thin.
She's 5'8". I mean,
yeah,
she's not a short little thing.
Oh, that's true.
So, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, she was crying at the press conference saying, if I get my crown, great. If I don't, the only thing I'm asking for is to clear my name. I'm 17. I shouldn't have to be slandered like this, and my future shouldn't have to be ruined over this. All right. Easy, gal.
Well, a lot of times what happens in a story like this, and I would guess this is the case, is that they have it out for her. They don't like her for one reason or another. She complains one reason or another. So they're just looking for an excuse because that's clearly not a big deal. But they were looking for anything to cut her loose, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is some subtext going on here that we're not aware of. But
that's ridiculous.
Anyway, we'll keep our eyes on that one.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We are on the air.
That's correct, yes. I don't know if you've heard, but if you're Catholic and you need to confess and you can't get to confession, there's an app for that. You can confess to your phone, apparently.
That seems like a time saver.
Sure. I'm not sure that that's the authority you're going to, but all right.
I like the direction that this is going, though. Hey, can't make it to college? There's an app for that.
Sure.
Hey, missing your wedding? Don't worry. Get married on your phone.
New internet roundup today. I think you'll like some of the videos that we have. Bean and the King of Mexico went to the Justin Bieber movie.
Yes, we did.
Oh, they're sure wacky. Those guys that were the only guys in the movie theater. Clay Butler is a guy who has created pot cola, weed coke, and I think it's called cannabis cola. And I think it literally does actually have cannabis in it. It's not one of those things where it just tastes like it, you know, like they have the lollipops and stuff.
Right.
It actually has cannabis in it. And so, therefore, must taste really bad.
Yeah. Don't you think? I'll have that right after my meat water.
Yeah, I know. You think so? Oh, I've seen a picture of this guy. He's not pulling the wool over our eyes.
Okay.
Not a bit. We also have MILFs that you find hot, but you're kind of on your own. You don't bring it up a lot because it seems like other people aren't down with that. So we've got that coming up today. We've got Clipper Darryl, who's the world's biggest Clipper fan. And, that guy, we've told him this before, he deserves a better team. He deserves, really, he deserves just a better owner.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But we're going to talk to him today. He's got a new song out in which he raps, Bean.
Can't wait.
Raps.
Can't wait to hear it.
And I don't know if you've been following. I know most of you don't like the hockey like I do. Love hockey. And but there's a huge story going on right now because of all the fighting. There was a game not too long ago, maybe a week ago, where there was
last Friday night
346 penalty minutes, and like 8 people got ejected and 10. I mean, it was ridiculous. The goalie was fighting with somebody. You look out on the ice, and there were just gloves and helmets and sticks everywhere. So we'll talk about that and see what's going on in the world of hockey, because it's getting good. I'm telling you that right now. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the showbiz beat. That is next.
We got one post-Valentine's Day story for you coming up after the top of the hour. You know those little candy hearts that you put the romantic messages on? You're not going to believe the one that a little girl got that may have scarred her for life. We'll tell you about that story coming up just after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph joins us for the showbiz beat. First look at what's going on in Hollywood for Tuesday. How are you, Ralph?
No, sad.
Why? Oh, so sad.
What happened?
No. One of my favorite character actors has passed away at the age of 75 years. Kenneth Mars was his name, and you may remember him from Young Frankenstein and the Mel Brooks movie The Producers, where he played the insane Nazi playwright who writes Springtime for Hitler, the musical. So funny.
Sort of, yeah.
So funny. He was funny for a long, long time and has passed away at the age of 75. So, see you, Kenneth.
Wow, that was touching.
Good stuff.
See you, Kenneth.
Good stuff. Also sad because news comes today that El DeBarge has checked himself into rehab.
What's going on with El?
I know.
He doesn't even make celebrity rehab.
Press release.
Just regular.
He doesn't. No, he's serious. He's going to real rehab. Not that Dr. Dre rehab that you guys watch.
Dr. Drew. It's not Dr. Dre.
Press release says that he is putting his comeback on hold until he deals with his many years of substance abuse.
Hmm.
You know L, of course, from Rhythm of the Night.
Nope.
You know, in November, he released Second Chance, his first album in 16 years, Kevin.
It's good.
This past November.
It's great.
Shut up.
It's good. The guy can still sing.
He's El DeBarge, Kevin. A little respect is in order.
Jesus.
You will pay respect to El.
Bean just said it's good.
I know. Bean, you know, buys every album by everyone always.
Well, I don't, but I am an El DeBarge fan, and it was
There is no such thing.
It's a good record, I'm telling you.
When was El?
The 80s. He was a man of the 80s.
Popular in the 80s.
Yeah.
Time will reveal, and I wonder who's holding Donna now.
Oh, who's holding Donna now?
Wow, and of course, who's Johnny?
Who's Johnny? Those songs are so bad.
I want to know, who's Johnny?
He never even answered that. So that guy did that like almost 3 decades ago, and Dean says he's a fan, and I say
no. How great is that song? How can you not shake your bootay when you hear that music, my friend?
Oh, I shake my bootay all the time, but not to that song.
Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are planning their wedding. Oh, can you imagine what a festive event that will be?
Oh, we hate our weddings so much.
Oh, so
many so people.
Hard to be here with all our friends and family all looking at us.
Picking flowers.
We're going to eat and take photos and dance.
People want to give us gifts.
According to Star
Silver Meg. Silver Lake, not washing your hair in tight jeans. hipsters. Yeah. Silver Lake.
Yeah.
I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Fuck hipsters and Silver Lake.
Well, I don't think they're getting married in Silver Lake, so we're okay. I'm trying to connect some sort of connection to the audio to the story.
That was the wrong clip.
Do you think?
Well, I did mean to play Fuck hippies. Huh?
Oh, there we go. But apparently, they're getting married in New Orleans. They want to have a quiet ceremony. Well, what other kind of ceremony could they have with the two of them? The balls of energy that they are.
Yeah.
They are going to have about 130 guests and only serve organic, locally grown food.
All right. All right.
I'm bored already. I'm not even there. I hope they don't invite me now.
You thought they might
there,
have?
There was a little danger. I could have been invited. Yeah. Yeah. You know Jenna Ushkowitz?
Yes.
From Glee? She's the Asian-American young lady on Glee.
Now I know.
She is quite the little dater. She was dating Kevin McHale on the show. The dude in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Who doesn't really... Not really in a wheelchair?
Right.
Not from the Boston Celtics. No, Mike, different guy. And now she has moved on to The Vampire Diaries' Michael Trevino. Not the golfer either. Oh, it's Lee Trevino, Mike. Yeah. So that's her relationship story. And John Mayer also in the news. He may have a new date. He may have a new girlfriend. Miley Cyrus. How would you like that?
No.
Ooh. No. No. New York Post says she was putting on quite the show for him at a pre-Grammy party this weekend.
All right. That's creepy.
Strutting her stuff in front of him, and he seemed quite impressed with the view on lookers.
Isn't he like 35 years old or something, Ralph?
Yes. You can't stop true love, Bean, no matter what the ages of people are.
Psycho Mike was at a party, that party, and saw that.
What?
Yes.
And didn't think to tell us.
What?
No, because I have to have John Mayer's back here. Yeah, Miley Cyrus was talking to him, and she was clearly very interested in talking to John Mayer. It did not seem as if there was romance. It didn't seem like he was spitting game. I watched that happen in front of my own eyes, with my own eyeballs.
So you picked bro code over show code? Is that what you're saying? You decided to back John Mayer instead of telling us that he and Miley Cyrus were flirting backstage?
No, because it wasn't. I mean, it's a music industry party. I could see them just having a conversation.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really a story. I think they're making mountains out of molehills when it comes to this.
That's what we do. We make mountains out of molehills.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry, then he gave her bumpkin.
I need as many molehills as possible.
Thank you. I heard that John Mayer raped a bitch on TV.
You're right.
That's what I heard.
I heard he had a stroke.
No, you didn't.
He was unable to perform.
You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that at all, because that has never happened to anyone.
Brunson and Taze, I heard he said.
Burleson.
Robert Blake. We haven't heard Robert Blake's name in a while.
Yeah, true.
You remember, you may have just had a stroke.
No, you didn't.
You may remember Bobby Blake. He was TV's Beretta. Was a movie star for many years as well. Hasn't been in the limelight recently, except
is
when
he in jail or out of jail?
When
right
he kills
now.
His wife, that's the only time we really hear from him anymore.
Sure,
he's not in jail. He was never.
He was acquitted.
He was never convicted.
Never convicted.
Oh,
no
wow.
kidding.
Okay, because he was in jail for a long time during the trial and everything, but now he's out and just laying low. I guess
he's out, and he was out of work, you know, as an actor. When he got out, he was working on a farm, I believe, or a stable boy. One of his friends owns horses, and I think he was cleaning out stables at the age of 73 or whatever he is. Now he's doing the celebrity autograph circuit, which a lot of former TV stars do because there's still fans out there who would like to meet their idols. He was at one in Burbank, California, here recently on Saturday, and security had to escort him out of the building.
Because
he stood up at his table and started screaming and complaining that the line was too short. Not enough people were interested in getting his autograph.
Oh, no.
And he thought he should have been a bigger draw. So then...
That's pathetic.
Wait for it. He comes back on Sunday when he is not scheduled to appear at the autograph show and starts signing autographs in the parking lot outside the show for free. Oh. He said, I'm giving away free pictures to my fans because yesterday I embarrassed myself by behaving like a fool. So I came back today to be a good guy and give them pictures and autographs because they kept me alive for 70 years.
Wow.
He tried to get back into the show and was again escorted by security out of the show for causing a disruption.
Wow.
He then went to an Italian restaurant and shot his wife over.
Again?
And she's dead. So he really has lost it.
He's the one, Ralph. Was it before your time, or were you there that showed up at the Kevin and Bean singles party?
out of the blue, randomly.
Must have been before my time. Must have been before my time.
Yep. Ralph has officially the best Robert Blake story. So yeah, don't even try to deliver your Robert Blake
story. We don't have time to get into here, but he was a guest teacher in an acting class I was in.
And
he
that's right.
And he made a girl cry and leave. I just remember that part. By calling her the C word over and over again.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
It was pretty magical.
Wow.
Yeah. Here he's on Larry King, famously. When the hot news was, had he murdered his wife or not?
Right.
And he was on Larry King during the trial. And Larry, do you have that audio, Bean?
I do.
Of Larry King asking him who did it?
I sure do.
You really want to go there?
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
How do I know?
How do I know?
Because you know people that she knew. I don't know people that she knew.
I don't know.
Yeah. He was really forthcoming with a lot of information.
What the hell?
During that interview.
That was odd.
He's magic. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons. He is 57 years old today. Model Jackie Dickinson. You know, she was America's first supermodel.
I hear that's true.
What? Why doesn't she ever bring that up? She's so modest.
She's 56 years old today. Alex Borstein, my buddy from Family Guy. She's 40 years old. She plays the wife on that show.
Lois.
You're on the show. You should be able to think of the name.
Brandon Boyd of Incubus is 35. Drummer Ronnie Vannucci of The Killers is 35 years old today. And actress Amber Riley from Glee. She celebrates her 25th
birthday.
Which
one is she, Ralph?
She is... I want to say...
Let's just say Nobel just to be safe.
It's Glee. They're mostly all Bells.
Yeah, but there's also the giant Gigantor who's in the show. Remember?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Little Precious. I'm talking about the Gigantor, the one who played football.
The new heavyset one. The big. Girl.
We'll look her up for next hour.
All right, Amber Riley. I believe isn't that Brittany?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Email Ralph.
No. I'm glad we'll find
have
out
that information.
I will find out and then I'll bring it to
he
you
really
in an hour.
Needs
I promise.
It, so.
I guarantee you.
The King says it is Little Precious.
Oh, is it?
Word.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What the gig says.
Oh,
right.
We just dodged a Bell bullet then. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
6 o'clock. What does the Pope say about confessing to your iPhone instead of to a Catholic priest? We'll discuss coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, day after Valentine's Day, I'm dying to know what everybody did. Because, you know, in my house, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. Why?
Because every day is like Valentine's Day.
That's right. So February 14th, just as romantic as April 12th at my house. Doesn't matter.
So
every day is Valentine's
Day.
How about you, Kevin? What did you do? What was your big Valentine's Day plan?
Mainly the same stuff as everyone else. You know, flowers and dinner and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have kids, so we did it with them. And it was not a big deal, but I will at least be man enough to admit that it's not Valentine's Day at my house every day.
Well, maybe you should take a lesson out of being romantic like me. How about you? Lisa, I follow your Twitter, so
yes.
I know that you had you prepared quite the meal last night. Lisa appears to be one of the women who's willing to invest a little bit in Valentine's Day instead of sitting back and letting the guy do everything.
Well, a couple of years ago, I decided to learn to cook, so I'm on a mission.
All right.
So last night, I made my first roast chicken, which was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I made brownies with browned butter and walnuts. And
nice.
I made acorn squash and salad with tomatoes and gorgonzola. And we
Look
had champagne.
You.
And
dude.
It was really nice.
I'm coming to your house for dinner. That sounds fantastic.
It was really good.
Wow. And how about you, Psycho Mike? Too many girls to narrow it down for Valentine's Day? So you sat alone and cried like usual?
I did spend it mostly alone, cleaning up doggy vomit and eating egg whites and steamed broccoli.
And you worked out some, right?
I did. I actually did. I had a meeting after this show, went got Swole Patrol, then came home for the rest of the day and hung out with my dogs and cleaned up vomit.
Showbiz, huh?
Yep.
Well, a lot of people got those little candy hearts that have the messages on, and there was speaking of Twitter, Lisa, maybe you saw this, there was a very funny trending topic for a while about rejected candy heart slogans. So I'm going to tell you some of the ones that people were posting online over the weekend, and then Kevin's got a story about a real-life one that happened to a little girl. Now, you're a girl, and you get the candy hearts, and you open it up, and you start reading them, and here are some of the messages that you perhaps see that maybe make you worry about the guy you're dating. For instance, the candy heart that says, get in the trunk. That's not romantic, right? No means yes. Not a candy heart you ever want to receive.
Uh-uh.
Get tested.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. That's
Your
great.
Sister is hot. You
Good.
Don't want to see that. I don't get this one. My balls ache. Now, why would that? Is that is that supposed to be, hey, help me out here?
I think so, yeah.
maybe not romantic. Any port in a storm is not what you want to see, really. That doesn't really say, hey, you're special to me.
That's hilarious.
The lamb still screams. I don't like that. I don't think that's a good one.
That's creepy.
Have you heard about Xenu? Is another very popular heart. And I think my favorite, and I don't know how you'd ever put this on a heart, but it says, I only want to have sex with you because you're emotionally unavailable, and if I can get you to like me, I win.
That just seems, that's a big heart.
Yeah, that seems like too much psychiatry going on just for a little candy heart. Did so you those guys, are some suggestions.
We'll get to the story in 1 second about the candy heart, but did you guys see during the Grammys the announcement that they made, a PSA for Valentine's Day? On CBS?
Want to do something special for your woman on Valentine's Day?
All right. Good. Good setup.
Yeah.
You want to do something special?
Sure.
All right. You got me. I'm in.
Examine yourself for testicular cancer.
All right.
Not romantic.
So what? You're telling me that my gift to her is that I put my hand down my pants.
Why give a diamond when you can give the family jewels? CBS cares.
That's funny. They're serious?
I believe they were. Yeah, because, I mean, testicular cancer does exist.
Yeah.
But I don't see that necessarily as a replacement for a gift. Honey,
It's not a diamond, I'll tell you that.
Right, listen, I was going to get you a diamond. But what I did instead was I just felt around down there and see if I had cancer. So, happy Valentine's Day.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America. That's and it's true. Not good for the entire world.
That's right, yeah.
And that so CBS... Shame on you.
I agree.
Shame on you, CBS.
All right. That is not sexy.
Here's the story about the those little hearts, because I guess there are some adult ones that have adult messages, and then there are the regular ones that go to kids, and they just say, you know, whatever, love you. Or
be mine.
Be mine, that kind of stuff. So this particular girl is, 12.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
And she found one of the adult ones mixed in with the regular ones.
Not so funny, Valentine. A 12-year-old says she found a naughty adult message on a piece of candy.
Nice.
So that's the T word, which we're not allowed to say, but breasts we can say.
Right.
And that's what it said. So she got
that's confusing for a little girl.
She got one of those little hearts and it said, be mine. And then she got the next one. It said that. And she was like, huh?
So the message on this small candy heart, we can't show you because it uses a derogatory term for a woman's chest. 12-year-old Sierra Bush says,
her name is Sierra Bush.
Come on. And by the way, that's not a derogatory term. That's a compliment, ladies.
Yeah, well, I wish that were true. They could have put her name on it. They could have put Nice Bush, right?
That's right.
Because she's nice.
She was eating a bag of candy conversation hearts when she stumbled on the naughty message.
I was reading them, and I brought it to my mom after I saw it.
Awkward?
Yes. We both read it, and both of our jaws drop.
Derek was shocked. He says he doesn't have any plans to sue.
Wait a minute. There's not enough lawsuits. Sue. Right?
Nobody sues anymore, is what Daniel Toshfeld told me.
She's for life.
He just wants to warn other parents.
I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. You know, watch what you get. Check it before you send it off to school.
All right.
Now you have to go through your candy?
Now you have to go through all of your candy to make sure it doesn't say that.
Oh, gosh.
So, good times. Hey, Mom, Dad, this says... What? So, that's good times, right?
It kind of makes Have You Heard About Xenu look pretty tame.
It really does.
Cage the Elephant coming up. Also, 3 Days Grace and The Offspring all in the next few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Pope Benedict the 16th, the Nazi Pope, not the good Pope. He
refer to him as the Nazi Pope.
Oh, really? I thought everybody. Okay,
I don't think so.
He has not turned out to be the most progressive man in the world, but he certainly does seem to be aware of and maybe even embracing technology, which I would not have necessarily expected. He gave a speech recently, the World Communication Address, where he talked about how the church has to get with the times. Hey, it's the 21st century. You got to be out there in the digital world. You got to be where the people are. And they are talking about an iPhone application that helps Catholics prepare for confession. Now, what do you make of this, Kevin? What's this all about?
Prepare for confession. I thought you could confess to your phone.
Well, I wanted to get more information about this, too, so we asked producer Alex to line up His Holiness, and I believe we do have the Pope on the line with us from the Vatican right now. Pope Benedict, can you hear us okay?
Hello, who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean, sir. How are you?
Ah, mein Gatten Himmel. How are you, fellas? Always a pleasure to talk to you.
We're good. Thank you.
Great. Good. Fine. Excellent.
It's always great to talk to you. Now, I'm not sure I understand how one prepares for confession with the iPhone app, but maybe you can explain it to us.
Well, it's not from us, you know, this app.
Oh, it's not yours?
No. This is from a company, and a guy has come up with this app for the iPhone.
Right.
And he says that Catholics can use it for confession.
Okay. How would it work? Do you know? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I read the proposal, and they gave me a prototype.
They gave you a prototype. Okay.
Yes. All right. And it's less app and more crap.
Oh, is that right?
Is what it is. This guy, Patrick Lahan.
This is Lahan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who invented the thing. He says it's for, you know, to give confession with the iPhone.
Right.
And that's craziness.
Does seem a little nutty, right?
The sacrament of penance is comprised of two parts, the person confessing and the member of the church who Christ has given the power to give absolution to sin.
Right.
Those two elements must be connected. You can't just talk into an iPhone.
So you're against this iPhone app then?
Yes, yes. We all should have read the story more carefully before we started this bit, I think. It's very confusing.
Yeah. That's confusing anyway.
But they sent me this thing, and it's got all these apps for the Catholics, and it's just taking the heart and the humanity out of the church. When I said we should embrace the digital world, I meant to spread the word of God, but not to take the place of priests.
Oh, I see.
Like on this app, they give me the apps, the prototypes. They got one for baptism.
They have a baptism app?
Yeah, so you hold up a little baby, and you say into the phone, baptism, and this happens.
Your penance is five Hail Marys.
What happened?
You have to do Hail Marys for that's crazy.
No, app is surprised.
The app is not finished yet, I think.
The iPhone isn't working correctly.
Oh, wow.
It's the damn AT&T. Now, here's the baptism app now. It's like a water pistol. It just squirts water in your face.
Well, is it holy water?
I don't know.
Okay.
And then the other app they have is for communion.
Okay.
You know when you go and the priest gives you the wafer?
Yes.
And you're in the church?
Right.
This is a communion. This shoots wafers at your head.
What? That sounds dangerous.
It is dangerous. They come flying at like 100 miles an hour.
Why do they shoot them at your head?
One bishop here put his eye out.
Oh, see, it's all fun and games till that.
That's what I'm saying, right, mister. And then, then finally with the confession app, listen, like I'll say, okay, I am a Catholic and I masturbated.
Your penance is five Hail Marys.
See, that's not the personal touch.
It sure doesn't seem like it.
That's not a priest helping you absolve you of your sins.
Right.
Let's see, I took the Lord's name in vain.
Your penance is 10 Our Fathers.
See, how does this app figure that out?
Yeah.
You need a trained professional, someone who has...
someone who has what?
The Word of God.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
I was a priest in Boston, and I messed with some kids.
Hell.
Oh, come on!
Hell.
You touch a few kids?
Hell.
Oh, we'll never be using this instead. No, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pope.
Mr. Pope?
Congratulations to Don McCure from Anaheim. Just qualified for that trip for two to see Rise Against in Rome, Italy. Your chance is coming up. Details online. It is 6:34.
Talk about your hardcore NBA fan. Our friend Clipper Darrell joins us next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's been to nearly 400 LA Clipper games in a row, and he's so excited about maybe seeing their second win coming up here pretty soon. But 400 in a row, that's a fan. He's the guy with the crazy colors on his suit and his car and everything. Yep. He's all Clippers all the time, so we love talking to Darrell. What an enthusiastic guy. He's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
KevinandBean.com is where you can go. You can see all of these videos. We just check them out for you and put up our favorite ones. One is Blake Griffin Theater, speaking of the Clippers. And it's a woman who is... the rim. She's the rim of a basket, and she's singing a song about Blake Griffin and how he dunks on her.
Ooh.
It's a little bizarre. Okay. I mean, it's really kind of a little weird.
It sounds sexual, but I don't think it's that's not, what they're going for, is it? They're going for comedy.
Yeah, it's not really sexy so much, but they are going for comedy, yes.
Oh, Blake Griffin, you amaze me. All the ways that you dunk on me are insane. I'ma name them. One-hand jam, two-hand double pump, monster slam, free-throw line jump, facial posterizer, gravity cheater, rock the cradle, leather eater, reverse 360.
Yeah, reverse 360.
And a facial too. Hey, how does that idea come about? Who's sitting around in a meeting smoking pot and going, "Hey, I know you be the rim.
We should do a thing where you're the rim." I don't know. Like there had to be somebody there that wasn't high and said, "Hey, this is funny now, but when you come down from being high, it's sure not going to be." You know, people take trailers online and they mash them with other audio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this particular one is the Captain America trailer. And they mashed it with, they put the audio from the song from Team America. So you got Captain America and the audio from Team America. Awesome.
It totally works. And I think I'm more excited about the Captain America with that audio than I am with the real audio.
I don't know if you watched before the Super Bowl. You may have just been partying or whatever. But before the Super Bowl, there was an interview with President Obama and Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I don't know, what was it 10 minutes being? 10 minutes long or something like that?
I think he had 15 total, and it ended up being right about there.
Somebody went through the entire thing, and they edited together just the times that Bill O'Reilly interrupted the president. So the president was speaking, and Bill O'Reilly talked over him and interrupted him, which is kind of his M.O.
Deny that you're a man who wants to redistribute wealth.
But the I lower taxes.
But the entitlement that you champion.
I think it's pretty evenly.
It's close.
It's the majority. Losing jobs.
Some people see it that way.
There's 48 of them.
I know why Bill does that, because you get people, particularly politicians, who just go into their stump speech. If you don't cut them off, they will talk for 5 minutes straight with every answer. And I understand how frustrating that gets. It was just a little bit unsettling to see the president talk to you like that, because you don't see that very often.
Yeah, but it really, really, really is frustrating. And we've turned down politicians before because they're so good. You can ask them, you know, why does everyone hate you? And they'll end up talking about their health care plan. And you have no idea how they got there. And, and they'll just eat up all the time and say thanks for your time. And you literally, there's no interview.
Yeah. I like Bill O'Reilly. I mean, like I said, it was a little bit unsettling, but I also think the president needs to, you know, answer the question too and not ramble on.
Yeah. There's a taxi driver in Puerto Rico who beatboxes and sings like Michael Jackson and does both quite well. He's just got a guy in the back, and he's the guy is videotaping him. And this guy, this taxi driver, is beatboxing and singing like Michael Jackson.
Hey, Billy James. Got my nut. She just grown. We got all in a one. But the chance and not my son.
That's not bad, right? I mean, when it comes to going.
It's not bad at all.
If you're going to beatbox and sound like Michael Jackson, that's about as good as it gets.
Yep.
Family Feud. I don't know if you saw this. This is where they ask you, they give you a category, and then they've polled like 100 people, and you have to guess the most popular answers. So this particular question was things you pass around.
Uh-oh, that's trouble.
Things you pass around. And the guy answered first.
Name something that gets passed around.
Chris. A joint.
A joint. A joint.
Yes, it was. Yes,
fantastic.
It was.
That's the first thing I thought of. How could that not be the number one answer, right?
8 people said a joint. And then the woman who was his counterpart, you know, she was guessing too. She said the collection played at church. And it was up there, but below the joint. The joint actually won.
Where was Lindsay Lohan on that list, by the way?
That's a good question. The Bieber movie for guys, we put up kevinandbean.com if you want to check this out. Her name is Justine Bieber, and she's pretty hot. This is the movie I would go see, in contrast with my man Bean, who went to see the little boy.
Movies, 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 oh! Why am I here? Because I'm a sucker for a great pair of
every frame. It's like a gift from God.
We'll call him in sick tomorrow because we got nasty cases of fever.
So you got that going on, and they're
It's very unsettling, Lisa. It's a girl who looks like Justin Bieber, except she's got a really hot body, and she's prancing around in a bikini, and they're recreating all of the scenes from the film.
Yeah.
Except with a hot chick. So, yeah, it's a win for everyone.
She does have his hair, and that is unsettling.
That's funny.
It is.
But especially if you're in love with the boy, like Bean.
How dare you?
It's got to be way unsettling. Let's see. Jimmy, Between Two Ferns with Tila Tequila. I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's on Funny or Die, and it is a great series. It's Zach Galifianakis, and he interviews guests. Now, he had Tila Tequila, really a nobody, right? A zero. And he brings out Jennifer Aniston and continues to talk to Tila Tequila, and just really insulting toward Jennifer Aniston. And God bless her for playing along. I mean, he kind of makes her look bad, but he just plays a bumbling idiot interviewer. And it's so funny.
So welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Tell Jennifer a little bit about yourself.
So he talks first to her. Tila Tequila, tell Jennifer about yourself. Like, she wants to hear about that.
Oh, well, I sing and I did reality shows. Actually, I had my own reality show.
You had a reality show?
Yeah.
What she would do is she'd have a lot of people to fight over her to, like, maybe get in bed with her.
How did that go?
Sound familiar, Jennifer?
Sorry?
Sound familiar, Jennifer? The entire time he spent talking to Tila and just right past... Oh, no, I was talking to Tila. It was really great. He's so funny. The one he did with Sean Penn we had up before, so funny.
Yeah,
he was
great.
Like, let's talk about Haiti. Do they have a roller coaster? No. All right, let's move on.
And Jennifer Aniston is a very, very funny comedic actress, too.
Yeah,
really good on this.
And then finally, we like to play this week in Unnecessary Censorship. This is our man, Jimmy Kimmel. He does it every Thursday night, I believe, on his show. And it's where he takes news feeds and showbiz stories and stuff like that. And he beeps words that are not curse words. There's no cursing, but they put beeps in to make it sound much, much, much worse than it is. It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Christina Aguilera. She f***ed the national anthem.
We want to know how fast you can f*** a bunch of f***s.
I'm 16, so I like to date and girls. So
that's good.
That's good. Pet lovers, you know, you often sh your bed.
Jennifer Aniston's stunning new confessions. I haven't had a in a year and a half. We asked, do you plan to see the Bees movie? Samantha writes, I love him with all my f***ing heart.
Yeah, so that's funny. It's totally unnecessary. It's Jimmy Kimmel live on ABC at 12:05. And if you'd like to see those and some other ones that we put up that we that there's no audio for, but we find them funny, you can go to kevinandbean.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:52.
Looking ahead, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, will be here. Also, Antoine Dodson. So hide your husband, hide your wife, hide your kids. And The Week in Rage with Adam Carolla. That's all tomorrow. Right now, it's a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Roseanne Barr is back.
Yes!
Woo!
All right!
Woo!
She was in a Super Bowl commercial that left this reviewer cold. I know that.
Yeah, new stickers commercial. She got hit by a big log.
I was happy with that.
That she got hit by a log?
Yeah. I liked it.
It was really sort of a pale follow-up to that very funny Betty White Snickers commercial where she's running around playing touch football and Abe Vigoda is the quarterback and he gets sacked. They brought in Richard Lewis with a chainsaw and Roseanne Barr.
All right.
But she's coming back now with her own comic reality series.
Yes, good. A reality series.
It's all about Roseanne managing a 40-acre macadamia nut farm on Hawaii's Big Island.
That is true.
Wait for this. Wait for her big comic slug line.
That's not true.
They've said Roseanne's nuts for years, and now I'm going to make that a reality. I'm all about nuts now. Macadamia nuts.
Overruled.
No way. Not ever.
Yeah.
She stopped being funny when?
Towards the end of her sitcom, Roseanne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
No, thank you.
You can say what you want about the Grammy Awards on Sunday night, but lots of folks were watching. CBS says the show had its highest ratings in 11 years. 26 million viewers tuned in to see the awards, and they think it was the performances, really.
Yeah, they gave out four awards, I think.
Out of more of 100 categories for the Grammys, only 10 were televised over the 3.5-hour broadcast.
Listen, we've said this before, same with the Oscars. If you're going to make it a TV show, you have to keep that in mind when you're doing the show. I know people need to be get their awards and stuff, but people don't want to
watch. Yeah, but if the TV show's about giving out awards, you can't blame the people for giving out awards.
Right, but
it's like watching a football game saying, really, we need more singing and dancing, really, and less of the actual football.
Right, but
they're tuning in to watch football.
They got the highest ratings in how many years because they did that.
Because also, this year, the people who were nominated and the awards were giving out, until they gave out the award to Lady Antebellum, every other award, were people who were more invested in the people who were nominated. They were more in touch with what people were listening to, so there was more of a vested interest.
First of all, Lady Antebellum is in that category of people who are enormously popular right now, Ralph. You just don't happen to like them. But you're right.
Yeah, when there's an Eminem. Make a little joke, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your Lady Antebellum love. That was just a little comedy.
I'm not a particular fan, but I'm saying people like them that are hugely popular, and Eminem and Lady Gaga and Katy Perry. You're right. There were a lot of really high profile stars this year on the show, and they did a great job with the show, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Glee may be done just making money for other people. You know, when a song appears on Glee, usually it gets a lot of attention and downloads go up and things happen that are usually good for the artist. Now Glee's talking about doing original music on that show.
Oh, good.
You know, financially it makes excellent sense for them.
Yes, it does.
Show's music supervisor said there's plans to do at least one featured episode a season where the entire episode is filled with original music.
It sounds boring.
That's way risky, because if people don't know it, I mean, I think that's the key.
But the thing is, when you have a show as successful as Glee, look, this happened back in the 60s with a TV show called The Monkees, where people would tune in to watch this show every week, and they would debut a new song on that show, and it would be in the top 10 of singles the following week. I mean, they sold millions and millions of albums based on this business model, which is, if you have enough eyes looking at a TV show, and you write catchy songs, you can sell those songs via that half-an-hour commercial that becomes your TV show.
I have a clip if you want to hear one of their original songs.
I'd love to.
The first one that they've released. I think it's Finn that's
yeah,
saying
Finn's
that.
Doing that?
Yeah.
I'd buy it. See? It's already working. Speaking of music, Radiohead has announced they're ready to release their 8th studio album. The band's official website says The King of Limbs will be available as a digital download beginning this Saturday. You can also pre-order a deluxe set, which includes 2 10-inch vinyl records, a CD, your choice of an MP3 or WAV download, special art that looks like a newspaper, and the guy with the effed up eye will come to your house and cook your breakfast. I think that's part of the special.
I don't think that's true.
It is. It's part of the special deal.
I have one of their new songs CD if you want to.
Package is due out on May 9th.
Hear it.
And you'll get the download this Saturday, too. You can pre-order the set at thekingoflimbs.com. thekingoflimbs.com, which is the name of their new CD. So you can check that out.
I thought it was interesting that their last digital download, it was pay what you want. Remember, they said you can get it for free, or
all
you get it for
eat.
$10.
All you can eat. Yeah, pay all you can eat.
They decided not to do that this time around because they realized that most people are just not going to pay for it if they don't have to.
Yeah. When the vast majority of people are stealing music and you know, downloading free music, odds are that's the price they want to pay.
Exactly.
For music.
That's true.
Familiar with Irina Shayk?
No.
Irina Shayk? No.
Yes.
She not a person?
She is the Russian model who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated
edition. Ah. Oh,
she's
yes.
She's the lucky winner. She's the lucky winner of the cover. It's a very coveted position for a model. She was unveiled on the cover last night on David Letterman. It's not Irina's first time in the magazine. In 2007, she's appeared every year. She's also done very successful ad campaigns for such companies as Lacoste and Guess and Beach Bunny and Armani Exchange, but this is the first time she's ever nabbed the cover, and she said she couldn't be more proud.
I didn't recognize her name, but she is stunning.
She's a beautiful, beautiful girl. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Amber Riley, who we discovered is Little Precious on Glee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know her.
Very talented.
Mercedes, that's her name. She's 25 years old today. Ronnie Vannucci of The Killers is 35. Brandon Boyd of Incubus also turns 35. Alex Borstein, my pal from Family Guy, turns 40 years old today. Janice Dickinson from America's Next Top Model and, you know, rehab and stuff.
Sure.
She's 56. Matt Groening is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin Amin Show on a Tuesday. It's weird. There are two Clipper fans in the world, and they're both on our show at the same time right now. Dave, the King of Mexico, here in studio. Our friend Clipper Daryl joins us on the phone. Daryl, how are you, man?
I'm hanging in there. What's going on, Kevin Amin?
we haven't talked to Daryl in a while, and by means of background, I don't know where you're listening to the Kevin Amin Show right now or who your favorite NBA team is. This isn't as much about the Clippers as it is about a guy named Daryl who fell in love with a team and is the best ambassador a sports franchise has ever had.
They don't deserve him, is what I'm saying.
You truly are the number one fan of any sport that I've ever met, Daryl, and how's it been going for you? You love the Clippers as much today as you did back when you started following them?
I love the Clippers even more, man. I mean, you know, with the new addition with Blake Griffin and Baron Davis and the excitement of, you know, of NBA basketball, and people are talking about the Clippers not in a bad way, in a good way, it's very exciting right now.
You know
now.
What's funny is in Los Angeles, people used to sell Clipper tickets by saying who was coming to town. Hey, you want to see LeBron James or the Cleveland Cavaliers back when he played them? You can get tickets for tonight's Clipper game now. It's about Blake Griffin, and rightfully so, because he's unbelievable.
MVP, baby, MVP.
Easy. Take it easy.
Daryl, have you had a chance to talk to Blake Griffin? I know you're pretty tight with a lot of people on the team. Have you spent any time with him?
Yeah, I talked to Blake. When Blake first got acquired, I talked to him in Summer League in 09. And then, you know, this year he talked to me. I see him out at lunch. I mean, at dinner time and stuff like that. So, you know, the guys are real, you know, they're real sociable towards me.
Yeah. Now, for a while, you were heading toward 400 games of consecutive home game appearances by Clipper Daryl at Staples Center. Now, I guess you kind of bumped the streak a little bit. You missed a couple of games. What's going on? You all right?
Yeah. What happened? I got sick. I went to the hospital. I had severe chest pains. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Whoa.
So I went to the hospital, and it was last year, and it was a New York game. And I suppose I had, I talked to the nurse. I said, be honest, if I was your husband, would you let me leave the hospital? She said, no, girl, you can't go to the game.
Oh, that hurt. Because that's a hell of a streak to break, man.
No kidding. You still got the red, white, and blue suit and the red, white, and blue car with the Clipper Daryl license plate?
Of course, man. I bleed, I live, I drive red, white, blue, baby. Clippers all the way.
Now, here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to try and be diplomatic and nice about this. They haven't earned your level of fandom. I mean, they've had some really, really rough seasons, one after another, and you're an outstanding fan. Have you ever thought, wow, this is just getting so... I mean, not this year because of Blake Griffin, but this is just getting so old. Why don't we, you know, I don't know, find a way to win? You've never faltered on that a bit?
Nah. Because they do everything to try to win. I mean, you know, everything came across last year. Baron was hurt. This year we got Blake, and then Eric Gordon goes down. We got Chris Kaman down. We got Craig Smith down. So, you know, it's always injuries, you know, that bring this this situation.
But every other team in the NBA has to deal with injuries as well.
But it's always our star players. And to me, with the, you know, addition of Vinny Del Negro coaching and showing these guys their roles on the team, I mean, we've been an exciting team. Look at Eric Bledsoe. Look at Aminu. You know, look at DeAndre Jordan!
How firm is the King of Mexico right now here in this conversation on the Kevin Amin Show? Is he loving this?
I'm beating it all up. Yeah.
He's also a Clipper fan.
But you guys don't understand. Like, the stadium could be, like, low in energy, and then all you hear is Daryl going, let's go, Clippers, and it goes crazy.
Everybody does it?
Yeah.
He's a leader. Daryl's
a leader.
He is
a leader.
He is a leader.
He's the number one fan, and I'm so happy that he's there every game cheering them on.
Hey, Daryl, this must have really broke your heart when the Cavaliers went through their losing streak. What did they end up losing, like 26 in a row or something like that, an all-time NBA record? And the team that they chose to break their skid was against the Clippers. How much did that hurt?
It hurt a lot. But you know what? We felt like the Lakers going in to that. It felt so good in a sellout arena, and the guys were hyped up for the game. Blake Griffin's coming to town, Eric Gordon, Baron Davis. You know, so it, you know, it's the NBA, man. Anything could happen. You know, I'm proud of my guys. They fought hard in that game. They did not give up, and they played 48 minutes of good, hard, passionate.
But they lost to a team that had lost 26 games in a row, though.
But you know what, though? You can't look at it that way. Look at your team. You know what I'm saying? They lose to the Charlotte Bobcats every year.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Come on now.
Yeah, the Lakers do get owned by Charlotte. I don't know what that's all about. That's for sure. So, Dave, you know, who you've spoken with before, you know, he's our number one Clippers fan here on the show. For a while, he was trying to, you know, eight-seater bust. He was putting on Twitter all the time, just praying and hoping that everything would fall into place.
Those of you who don't watch, the top eight make the playoffs and the Clippers. So they just wanted to just make that final spot so they could be in the playoffs.
Just make the playoffs, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen this year, right, Daryl?
You know what? There's always hope, there's always belief, and there's always faith.
But for people who know, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but
there's also always reality, right?
It's a long shot at this point, isn't it?
No, it's not. Nine games with 28 games left. No, it's not. You know, these other teams are going to slump. Anything can happen.
I got to tell you, when I saw Blake Griffin and how well he was playing, I thought to myself, wow, Clipper fans deserve this. They've been sticking through the team through some really lean times, and now they have a really exciting player that other teams sell. Oh, Blake Griffin's coming to town. I mean, you guys earned
it's
that.
It's impressive.
Oh, man, it feels so good to actually go to another city and actually, you know, instead of getting a $30 ticket, you know, people selling outside, our tickets are $150, $200. People are wanting to see the L.A. Clippers, baby. The Clippers are nice, baby. It's selling so good.
All right, take it easy, Daryl. Take it easy.
Listen to the level of enthusiasm for a team that has never won anything. And this is how excited Clipper Daryl is. God bless him. I don't know where you get the strength, man, but it's great to have. This is what's awesome about sports is that there are fans like you who are enjoying it so much. It's really contagious, Daryl. I love what you're doing.
It's the NBA, and it's fantastic.
All right. Daryl, tell us about the song that we have. Did you rap on it? Is that you rapping or singing? Is the whole thing you? You just make an appearance? Tell us about it.
What happened? I did a little cameo in it. You know, I'm doing a little hype stuff in the background of it. I mean, it's a real nice song, you know.
Who did it?
Digital Live Wire production company came to me and asked me would I do some background vocals on it, some hype stuff in it. And the guy that's rapping is C-Dub.
And we're gonna
be definitely shooting a video and probably towards the end of the month for it.
Here's a little bit of that song. Do we really need to let you know who we be? EDC to the L, the I, the double B. ERS. And homie, we are the best and we run the West. We never gonna stop it, homie, we can't drop it. I'm sorry, Run the West? I'll bet that was you yelling MVP, yes?
Exactly.
I knew it.
ClipperDaryl.com is the website, and Daryl blogs after every Clippers game and puts lots of interesting stuff up there about the NBA, too. And you can follow him on Twitter at JustClipperDaryl. You're the best, man. It's always great to catch up with you. About once a season, we have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us, dude.
I love you. When I say K, you say rock.
He's just a born cheerleader. Hey, if you guys make the playoffs, we'll have you in the studio, all right?
I love you guys.
All right, Daryl. Thank you, man. Bye.
Nate Berkus, is he on our team or is he on your team, Mike? I can't tell.
He's on Team Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, party people, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Alex is our producer. She's out sick today. Ralph missed a day last week because he's out sick. He was out sick. I am working hurt today. I feel like crap, and I think it's because I was on a bunch of airplanes over the weekend. I think I got sick. And now Kevin is trying to tell me the secret to not getting sick, and the reason he never gets sick is because you drink vodka every day.
No, don't exaggerate, Bean.
What? That's not what you said? You drink vodka every day, and that stops you from getting sick, I thought.
I didn't say that at all. Here's the thing. I said when you have throat trouble, like you said your throat was really sore.
Killing me, yeah.
Okay. You gargle with vodka, which is the name of my autobiography. I hope you all picked that up. Gargling with vodka. No, honestly, you gargle with vodka, and the alcohol in it makes it feel better. It's been the difference between losing my voice and not losing my voice.
Now, is that the same basic principle behind Listerine? Isn't that the active ingredient in Listerine, some sort of alcohol, or no? Am I wrong about that?
I think there is alcohol in Listerine. Yeah. I don't know.
Is that better than just salt water?
I don't know. I know it works.
And I had a tough time explaining it to my wife. Yes. Who's been in the vodka? It's only half full. Well, when I start losing my voice, I gargle with it.
Lisa,
and,
are you
spit it out. Because I'm a responsible person.
Okay.
Are you with me, Lisa, that the pieces are starting to come together that explain a lot about Kevin and, and his performance on air the last few years?
Yep, the first thing in the morning, yeah. Totally.
I'd like
throat hurts. Oh.
I'd like any medical professional to call and back me up.
Well, yeah, and I would enjoy that, too, because this is the time of year where everybody seems to get sick, and one person gets it at work or in the family, and it gets passed around. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067, especially if you can back up or not Kevin's vodka theory.
We had, my wife has had the flu for about a week, so it's like, you know, I walk around in a hazmat suit.
There's, yeah.
Because you just don't.
You don't want to get sick.
Right. Yeah. And so I used that hand wash, this alcohol, stuff, and then I gargle with vodka.
Are there any products in your life that you use that don't have alcohol in them?
No, I don't think so.
Because
that is a necessity.
I've heard about salt water. I've heard now about vodka. There are people who swear by the hot tea, and then even beyond the hot tea, they say, you know, you put cinnamon in it, or you put honey in it, or do you put ginger in it? Or maybe vodka and Kevin's case. Everybody has what they think is their trick to either not get sick or to stamp out illness when it first comes along so that it doesn't get out of control.
Bean yesterday was feeling terrible and started taking that airborne whatever, right?
Emergency was the one that I was taking.
So that's vitamin C in great doses. Has that been the most debated thing ever?
The vitamin C thing, yeah.
I don't know. I mean... I do it because what's the downside? The downside is I get a day's worth of vitamin C. But I do feel like, and I hope that I'm right, I do feel like it helps. Like when you first start getting sick, you take the emergency and it does prevent your throat from going as bad as it would. Who knows if it works?
Yeah,
Lisa suggested earlier it might just be a placebo effect because you're taking it this powder and you think you're feeling better.
Wasn't there a scientific study at one point that said that really doesn't work? Didn't somebody come out with a study?
Well,
and
the vitamin C thing has been really debated, yeah.
The study was on airborne.
Oh, it was on airborne.
Not on,
okay, right.
But it's the same thing. And look, Bean's exactly right. There really isn't a downside to getting a lot of vitamins and some amino acids or whatever they put in
What's
that.
What's the downside of vodka?
I agree.
Lisa May.
Oh, hey. Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Wow.
What's up?
I have something very therapeutic that you can gargle with.
All right. Thank you. Okay. By the way, when I do start to feel ill and then I take the vitamin C, that's the only vitamins I get all year long. So
yeah,
me especially, it's a good start.
Well, then of course it's good for you.
Let's try, please put line two on hold for us because I do want to squeeze that one in. Let's try Nathan. He's gargling something that I can't even imagine that he says helps his sore throat on line one. Hi, Nathan. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It is disgusting. I know it. But you mix it with water, and it's hydrogen peroxide.
Hydrogen peroxide? No.
Is that the stuff that you like clean wounds with and stuff?
That's the stuff that everybody hates to pour on wounds. It even says it on the bottle. It says you can swish it or gargle it up to like four times a day or something.
Really?
And a guy at work told me about it a little bit ago. I did it. You got to mix it with water or else you're throwing up.
Right.
So,
but it helps a sore throat.
It does. It 100% legit. It's a fix.
I know a lot of guys, like fighters and stuff, they gargle with it. After they take out their mouthpiece or if they get cuts in their mouth, they'll gargle with hydrogen peroxide.
That's to clean the cut.
It's cleaning out the inside of your mouth. So maybe that's the thinking.
Huh.
Wouldn't you rather try vodka?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm a huge fan of vodka, don't get me wrong.
All right, but I'm just saying, wouldn't you rather do that than hydrogen peroxide?
Let's try Richard real quick. He's online. Did we just lose him? We just lost Richard.
I think we did.
He was rubbing vodka all over his body. Richard, please call back. We need to hear more about that.
Yeah, that seems like that's maybe a step even further than I'm going. You rub it on your back?
If you've got thoughts on the alcohol to kill a cold or to stop you from getting sick, we want to hear from you. Or if you have some other, perhaps a home remedy, maybe you're in a Mexican family and something's been passed down to you that works because, you know, they have the crazy ideas. If you've got something that can help me, help Ralph, help Alex, help everybody else who's sick here in February, give us a call right now. We'll take your calls coming up at 1-800-520-1067 on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up, we've got an expert from the Los Angeles Times who writes about hockey, talking about that tremendous brawl last week between the Penguins and the Islanders that has some people, up to and including Mario Lemieux, wondering if he even recognizes the sport that he once loved. So quite the controversy.
Why? Because they're involving everyone and they're fun? Usually it's just two people and they're just duking it out and everybody else just sits around and watch. That's boring. Let's get everyone involved.
Also next hour, Canicola, which is, yes, pot you can drink. That's all coming up on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we're talking about this is the time of year where a lot of people are getting sick and a lot of people have home remedies to either stop from getting sick or to stop being sick in its tracks because you've got something that you can try, like Kevin, for instance, with the vodka. By the way, I'm not seeing any support for vodka on all these phone lines that are on hold. Kevin, are you?
I'm not. Technically,
no. Let's try Carlos on line three to get us going. I'm particularly interested in your home remedy, something that maybe Dr. Drew wouldn't tell us, but you'll swear by. You know it works. Carlos, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What have you been trying?
Just pretty much my pops decided at the age of 16 when I was delirious with the fever to give me concentrated onion juice.
Wait, your dad just decided out of the blue? Hey, he seems to be sick, so here's some onion.
No, what happened was that somebody had given him some holistic medicine, evil devil magic voodoo book or something.
Right.
Good. He pretty much had read that, you know, it was miraculous, it could cure anything. And
now, do you believe that it helped?
Yeah, it did, actually, but it also killed my sex life and pretty much my dating life for like 2 years.
Sure, because you smelled like onions.
Smelled like onions, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, pretty much it worked. The only thing was that I didn't know I was taking it in my delirious state. He just came up with the cup full of it and decided to give me a shot.
Are you sure it was just onion juice?
Oh, no.
Does your dad have a sense of humor?
No, don't even ask that. Carlos, thank you for the call. Let's try Steven. If you thought he's on line 8, if you thought onion juice was the grossest thing you were going to hear today, wait till you hear what Steven's got for us. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend.
What up, Kevin Bean?
Hello.
What do you use?
The trick is you got to chew and swallow pickled garlic.
Okay. Ew. Chew and swallow pickled garlic?
No.
Isn't that to repulse vampires?
it'll probably take care of that, too. It's like, you know, two for one.
But, now, how did something like that get started? I mean, is that like a family recipe that's been handed down or something?
Actually, it's from one of my friends. He's from Israel, and he told me about it, and I had the same reaction. I thought it was way gross, but my throat was killing me, so I thought I'd give it a try. And
Michael really backed this. Garlic is incredibly healthy.
Yeah.
And pickled foods and garlic both are renowned for helping digestion. I've never heard of it, like, you know, being an antiseptic.
I'm guessing the guy told you that, went back to his friends and said, you'll never believe what we got Steven to do.
And is still doing.
No.
I'm not going to try that. Let's try John line 6. John is calling about vodka, but it doesn't sound like you're recommending I drink it. What do you say, John?
I'm Armenian, so anytime when we're younger and we would get a fever or like we weren't feeling good, what my dad would do is he would get the chilled vodka out of the freezer and rub it on our face and our back, and that would like basically instantly reduce the fever, and the next day you're perfect.
He rubs vodka on your forehead and on your back?
Yeah.
Is that an attempt to get the dog to play with you?
No, I mean, it was just strictly to bring down the fever. If you had, like, a really high temperature,
Vodka physically on your forehead does that?
Yes, like basically, like, all over your face.
Does your dad have a sense of humor?
Or is he an alcoholic?
Do you swear by it, John? I mean, you really believe it works? It's something you'll continue to do into adulthood?
Yeah, I mean, the only downfall of it is that you basically wake up in the morning smelling like a 5-year-old that's been drunk, but I mean, that's pretty much it. But it brings down the fever and everything.
Plus your back hair gets all matted from the vodka. Right? No?
No back hair here.
All right. Check it.
Yeah, then you're not really Armenian. Thanks for the call, though. Brow down. Let's try Sabrina, Jesse. Let's try Anne. Anne's got kind of an oddball idea. Again, we're talking about fending off illness. This is the cold and flu season, don't you know? Hi, Anne. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi.
What do you do?
I snorted hand sanitizer.
Yes! Yes!
Explain.
Well, I had this great vacation planned, and everyone around me at work was terribly sick, and I started out using hand sanitizer like you normally would.
Right, that's what you do, is you go, oh, no, everyone around me is sick, I'm going to get it unless I, you know, take whatever action. And washing your hands, I think, is what most experts will tell you. If you wash your hands.
Best thing you can do. Right.
But I thought if it's killing the germs on my hands, it might also kill the germs that are going up my nose, and one thing led to another, and there you go.
Are you? Okay, do you still do that?
I haven't had to do that this year, but I didn't get sick.
You
so
would if
do
you got
again.
Sick.
This does sure. remind me of people who put either Neosporin or Vaseline in their nose before they fly because it does prevent germs from going into your nose.
Interesting.
So maybe there's something to this.
Interesting. And then, by the way, I think for folks who are just joining us, I think that's why I got sick is because I flew a couple of times over the weekend. And I just, I'm so creeped out now on airplanes because I feel like I'm just walking into everybody else's breath. It's just like a giant.
That's weird though, because you've flown so many times and you've been fine.
I know.
You know what I mean? It doesn't happen every time. And,
right, but I think this time of year, you're likely to be on a plane with other people who are sick, and there's nothing you can do about it. You got to breathe their air.
Look, I love you, Ann, but I would like to suggest that people get a medical opinion before they snort hand sanitizer.
No, go with what you heard some chick say on the radio. That's what
maybe
you need to do.
That's not the best idea.
Hey, I didn't get sick.
I'm glad it works for you. Call
you're
us
awesome.
Back when you're on Celebrity Rehab. Bye.
You're awesome, man. Thanks very much. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, why can't you be more like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model?
I don't know, Bean. I guess
we don't know
she
either.
Was just born
we don't know
that
either.
Way,
that's
and
the
then
problem.
Some of us weren't.
But find out. That's what we're saying. Well, you don't know, but find out.
Bean, how come you can't be more like Brad Pitt?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just saying she's a good thing. Yeah. That's all. That's my only point. All right. Apparently, the guys are interested in the trip that Dave the King of Mexico and I took on Saturday to the Justin Bieber movie. So we'll be discussing that coming up after the top there. And if you guys bring Chris Hansen in like you've been threatening, I'm going to be pissed. I'm just telling you
he
right
was
now.
There. Trust me.
Look, we're not the ones that do
no,
that.
No, finish your popcorn and your soda. No, you can leave the theater
sure,
now.
You're free to
you're
go.
You're free to go.
First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Charlie Sheen, he's a peach. He's a peach.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, I want him to be the godfather to my child. I want to involve him in my life in a significant way somehow.
Maybe even co-parent.
What a douchebag.
But you would go to Vegas with him for the weekend if you had the opportunity, wouldn't you, Ralph?
If he's buying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The guy can't even just drop out of the limelight in shame. With any grace. He can't just stay in his house and try to get sober and then get back to work and just do his job. He just can't even do that. He can't bring himself just to do that much. Just shut up.
What's he doing? Oh, is he mouthing off now?
He was on the Dan Patrick Show. Dan Patrick, for those of you who don't know, was a big part of ESPN for many years. And then he left and now has his own sports radio talk show.
Right.
And the news was this week that Charlie had talked to the UCLA baseball team while they were working out because he was at the facility where they're working out with some other major league ball players and went over there and talked to them and famously made the joke, don't do crack, kids. You know, drink a chocolate milk instead.
Right.
Which is the kind of hilarious comedy you expect from the star of Two and a Half Men. So Dan Patrick had him on to talk about baseball and about what's going on in his life. And you can the douchiness just comes right through the speaker at you. Mm. Here's about a minute of the interview.
How'd you lose your voice?
Well, went back to work, and I was banging on the stage door. Hello? Where's everybody? And I don't know what happened. I guess they're closed.
They won't let you back in?
Nobody told me. Nobody told me. I just figured, you know, I'm supposed to go back to work because I'm ready.
Wait, and, you're on hiatus.
No, we're on forced hiatus. They said, you get ready, we'll get ready. And I got ready. I went back. Nobody's there. I don't know what to tell you then. Nobody's there.
Who decides when you get to... You can't do One and a Half Men.
No, and that was clearly revealed when they... had to bring me back this year, you know. I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm just, I'm here and I'm ready. They're not bring it, you know.
When are you scheduled to start shooting again?
I believe August of 2014 at this pace. I don't know. It's supposed to be like the 28th or the 29th. That's what it is. It's the 29th and a non-leap year.
Wow.
What a dick.
He's making it sound like it's everybody else's fault that he can't work.
Yeah. Look, I'm here. I'm ready to go. No, you're a drug-addled, alcoholic pornophile who can't stop stepping on your own joint.
Yeah.
And CBS and Warner Brothers are desperately trying to keep this franchise alive and keep these other people employed.
And how many of us believe that he lost his voice because he was banging and yelling on the door trying to get in?
Well, he was obviously making a joke. He was saying, basically, I'm ready for work. I'm waiting for these people to get off the stick and start getting everybody back together again so we can work. He wasn't actually banging on the door.
It's not my fault there.
But somehow, yeah, Warner Brothers is dragging their feet because they don't want this huge cash cow that they got going for them. They don't want to get new episodes ready to go on television.
Yeah
I'm sure that's the last thing they're interested in.
Yeah, he's not cool.
No, he's not.
And all I feel for the guys who work the lights and the cameras and the grips and the craft service people and all the 300 or 400 people that show employs, that they all have to eat this guy's crap because they need the job and they just have to put up with him. And the, and his co-stars and everybody else, what a pain in the ass it must be to go to work every day dealing with this. And he's not making it any easier. He's not making a graceful entrance back into the world of his coworkers.
And how incredibly insensitive it is for him to make jokes about when they will get back to filming. It'll be 2014 at this pace. No, it'll be when you're healthy and they're all standing behind you. And for you to go on a national radio show and kind of make a joke about that, the delay is that you are not healthy, dude. And what a dick.
Yeah, he's an a-hole.
And he's lucky that the show is as successful as it is, because on a lesser show, he would have been fired. And he would have, you know, the money would have dwindled. And then we would see the challenge of a toothless, aging, poor Charlie Sheen trying to get laid from porn stars without the dangling of eight balls of cocaine in front of him. So I know it just leaves such a bad taste in your mouth all the way around when you hear a guy like that.
Yeah.
Couldn't even fake being contrite. Couldn't fake a little humility or shame. Has to come off sounding like a douchebag.
I'm really sorry this happened to the people who work on the show.
This is an unfortunate thing. I was out of control.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to take a handle on things. I'll be back to work as soon as I can, and hopefully, you know, we can move forward.
He said, I'm ready. Bring it.
He sounded half in the bag on this phone call, I think. He sounded like he was a little loaded. So who knows how well his rehab at his house is going.
Oh, I think pretty good.
You think?
What a giant a-hole.
Although experts will tell you that's the best way to get clean,
that's
is to do
Kevin
it on
does.
Your own.
He gets home. Up at his home, he gargles with vodka
that's
every
right,
morning,
yeah.
And he says, I'm ready now to be clean and sober.
Yeah.
There's your Charlie Sheen
update. What did you do? He's a giant a-hole.
What did you do? Speaking of a-holes, this story from the National Enquirer, as you know, which is our favorite tabloid record because they tend to be true more often than not.
They've been sued so much, they do tend to, you know, double-check
the facts. Becoming a legitimate news
source.
They
really are.
In the world of the tabloid world we live in, the National Enquirer is actually becoming somewhat reliable. You never thought they'd see that day, right? O.J. Simpson.
Yes, a name I thought I'd never hear again.
Brutally beaten in prison attack is the headline.
Dude.
He was beaten unconscious.
No way.
In the prison yard. And has spent nearly 3 weeks in the infirmary. Now Simpson, who is 63 years old, by the way.
Wow.
Is scared to death to come out of his cell.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
Unfortunately for OJ, the story says, a group of young skinhead punks were within earshot when he was bragging about his sexual conquests with beautiful white women to some of the other prisoners.
Hmm. Aren't you a little bit aware of that if you're in prison?
I don't think OJ is very aware of a great many things.
But he's in prison now. I mean, it doesn't take that much to realize, hey, all those bald guys right there with swastika tattoos, maybe they're not the people I need to talk around.
If he has any awareness, who busts into a hotel room with guys toting guns demanding your memorabilia back? I mean, this guy has shown poor judgment in the past, to say the least.
Wow.
But there's your OJ update. So it was a complete douchebag edition of the Showbiz Beat.
How
I hope everyone
that?
Appreciated that. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Amber Riley, who plays Mercedes on Glee. She's 25 years old today. Ronnie Vannucci, one of the Killers.
Oh, I thought he was on the Jersey Shore.
No, he's the drummer for the Killers. He's 35. Brandon Boyd of Incubus. Lisa, you going to send him a special present?
Maybe I already did.
Maybe you already did. Alex Borstein is 40.
My neighbor.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she lives up there.
She lives on the island, yeah.
She, too, does her job from up there. She's got a little system where she sends her voice back. She plays Lois on The Family Guy, and they record her in her house when she's up there. She's married to my good buddy Douglas, too, by the way. So I've known these guys for a long time.
Another good story. I hope
they're
they keep
nice
coming.
People. They're good people. I'm saying they're good people, Kevin.
You and Bean are now tag-teaming
and
bad stories.
And they're The Family Guy, and they're nice.
Right, I got you.
And she's 40 today.
The Family Guy airs on Sunday nights on Fox, Kevin.
Right.
Like
it's
more.
A very popular program.
I do love that show.
It's animated.
Animation Domination Sunday over there on Fox.
That Seth MacFarlane is a creative and funny guy.
He really is.
Seth Green, who's on that show, also has another animated show.
And
that's true.
It's also named Seth.
Robot
There's two
Chicken.
Guys named Seth.
That's correct.
And they each have animated programs that they're doing very well.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Janice Dickinson, America's first supermodel. Just ask her. She's 56 years old. And speaking of Animation Domination, which is a very popular series of animated programs on Fox on Sunday nights,
probably the cornerstone of that evening, the longest-running show on television, The Simpsons, is also part of that. And Matt Groening, who is the creator of The Simpsons, is 57 years old today. Anything else you'd like to know about Animation Domination Sunday, Kevin?
What was the first show?
Not even a little.
I believe it was Family Guy. I believe that was the kickoff show.
Not even a tiny bit.
And of course, The Simpsons originated on the Tracy Ullman show. It was initially just a small portion of that variety show that would do lead-ins in and out of commercial breaks.
I don't know who any of those people are.
James L. Brooks, the producer of that program, was so taken by those short little animated
segments. Peter Griffin.
That he decided to create an entire half-hour sitcom based on that same family.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And this has been The History of Television with Ralph Garman.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Linkin Park on the way. Also, 30 Seconds to Mars and the late, great White Stripes. That's all coming up right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. But no Bieber. I don't see any Bieber on the playlist here. Kevin, come on. We got to get with the times, man. Where's that Never Say Never song?
Yeah, here's the thing about Bieber. Not big fans.
What?
Little girl fans. All little girl fans only. Right? And Ralph tried to impede the Bieber. He wanted to stop Justin Bieber from happening, which didn't work. But and then all of a sudden, one day, Bean came in and said these words. Guys, I think I'm coming around on the Biebs. And we said, what are you talking accurate, about? And he said, oh, I went back and listened to the music, and I think it's pretty good, and I'm turning on it, and... Listen, I've worked with Bean a long time. I've heard this many, many times. He's going to do it again with whatever everybody else hates. Yeah. He'll say he loves
untrue.
It.
That's untrue. Untrue because he lives his life. This is totally, you're totally wrong because I was with you guys. I was not a Bieber fan. And then gradually he grew on me, and the more I started to find out about his story, he's not one of these guys who was plucked out by the Disney machine and they just put a finger on the top of his head and said, all right, you're anointed. You're now going to be a star. He's a kid who has an enormous amount of talent and worked really, really hard to get where he is today. And that's why I wanted to go see the Never Say Never movie, and the King of Mexico's in studio with me. That's why we went to see it on Saturday night, because it's a fascinating story. I mean, it's really an interesting story for the 21st century to see how this kid became so successful.
At any point while the two of you pedophiles were sitting there, did Chris Hansen show up?
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Did that happen?
No, Chris Hansen was not there. But Dave, the truth of the matter is, we were the only adult males in the theater. Yeah, weren't we surrounded by a ton of little teenage girls?
Screeching girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Every time you appear on screen, it's, oh my God.
Who could have predicted that? Was Dave like, tweeting? Because
no. I can't control my horny level.
That apparently was tweeted during the movie.
You know, I was expecting Dave to tweet because I've heard the stories about how he can't put his BlackBerry down. But
built good.
Right. But because it was in 3D, I don't think Dave wanted the hassle of having to take the glasses off every time he wanted to see his phone. So I don't think he tweeted at all during the film.
I want to meet you and fool around.
Look, here's the thing. It's a documentary about an interesting topic. And we've had this conversation a million times before, Kevin. You can make a documentary about almost anything. And the stuff that you never thought you'd be interested in, like that documentary about the guy with the Donkey Kong record.
Right.
You don't care who has the Donkey Kong record, but because of the people involved and because of the story, that they managed to make that a great movie.
But I didn't hate Donkey Kong going into it. You know what I mean? Like that, you have to do an amazing turnabout if you say you were with us, you didn't like him. I mean, really?
Here's all I'm telling you.
Are you both gay?
No. It's not a gay thing. We're music fans. We're fans.
Is that
of
a
pop.
Yes?
No, it's a no. Yes. We're fans of pop culture, but Dave and I, you know, we boys, first of all. We had a really good time at the film. That's all I'm saying. We went
Is
to the
that
movie,
a yes?
And we're glad we saw it and we enjoyed it. So sue me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, with the Chris Hansen. We got it.
So you're saying that you're not a pedophile. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You're also saying that everyone in the audience was 75 years younger than you. Is that accurate as well?
It was a youthful female crowd, if that's what you're asking. Yes. I mean, I don't doubt that that's the Biebs' primary audience. That doesn't mean other people are excluded from enjoying
you're
him.
You're excluded. Yes, you are.
We had a good time. That's my point.
But I'm saying you're just saying that to be contradictory because you know how all of the rest of us feel.
You may think Bean's like that, but I wasn't. I went into the movie just thinking, hey, I'll go hang out with Bean. That's it. And it turned me around. I mean, I don't like Bieber, but I thought the movie was interesting.
I tried to pay Dave double what he paid for the tickets to stand Bean up.
Oh, that would have been funny.
I said, I will pay you twice as much as you paid for the tickets. No, I can't do that.
I can't do that to my boy.
Any grown man who likes Justin Bieber is a pedophile. That's and right. A sheep.
That's true. Yeah,
not
true.
Bean.
Both are true.
Not true at all. It was
did
a good,
you,
it was
are
a
you aware, Dave, even, that we mic'd you? Did you know that?
What?
K-Rock microphones were there?
What are you talking about?
Did you know there was a mic in your jacket?
No, I did not.
All right.
Well, when Dave showed up at the theater?
That's correct. Well, we couldn't let that go undocumented. So I present for you now, hidden microphone, Dave being gay and off at the Justin Bieber movie, or whatever it is they were doing.
Dave, I'm so glad you came with me to this movie.
Oh, I'm pretty excited too.
Look at little Justin Bieber beating on his drums. I wish I had a little boy of my own so I could have him beat on some things.
Oh, what do you mean by betting on some things?
What? You know, just to have the companionship of a young man. In like a sauna or a steam room, wearing a towel.
Oh, I'm wearing a turtleneck.
Look at Justin Bieber. Look at his hair all combed forward. Next time I get my hair cut in another state, I must get that style.
You will look like Julius Caesar.
Would you like some popcorn, Dave? Just reach into this bucket.
Oh, I love popcorn. Let me see here. Oh, did you get a hot dog too?
Yes. As far as you know, that's a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
Could you sing that baby song by Justin Bieber while you eat the hot dog?
Baby.
Baby.
You're like a swarthy, chubbier
Justin Bieber.
Thought you'd always be mine.
So that happened. Apparently everyone around you was angry.
That's unacceptable.
Wow.
How about... Talk to a guy coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Mean Show who is behind the Canna Cola, which means you can now drink your pot. Because pot has been so difficult to ingest in any other ways.
That's correct. But
finally, they figured out a way to make it easy to get into your body.
At first, I thought it was lame because I thought it was just tasted like cannabis. You know how they have a lot of products like that?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Did they actually put
Does this have the THC in it?
Yes.
Or is this like hemp cola?
I don't have to ask him.
Hemp products, which is just a tease, just a big C tease of pot.
I don't think so. I think it's made from the medical marijuana people, so I think it's real.
He's going to be snuffed out.
Yeah.
The guys in black suits.
So that's coming up here on the Kevin Mean Show. Right now, though, we want to talk about something that we have been discussing behind the scenes for the past few days, but it's time to bring it on the air. There was a... Well, Kevin, I'll let you explain it because you just put up a post at kevinandbean.com, something that happened, a major sporting event that happened about a week ago.
Yeah, you have to watch this. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. It is the New York Islanders, and they're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins in hockey. Now, I know a lot of you don't care about hockey. First of all, you're wrong. But second of all, there was... an unbelievable brawl where pretty much everyone was involved. People were coming off the bench,
guy came off the bench.
Automatic 10-game suspension.
Right.
Everyone on the ice was involved in it. At one point, they sent a guy over to the penalty box, and he skated down toward the goalie because the goalie had... This is complicated, but the week before, the goalie had knocked out the other goalie in a fight.
Yeah. There was some bad blood between these two teams.
So here's what happened, and this is not normal. 10 ejections, 346 penalty minutes, 15 fighting majors, which is a 5-minute penalty, and 20 misconducts, which means you get kicked out of the game and subject to further punishment by the league. All in one game.
Now, let's not forget that this is not, by any stretch of the imagination, one of the biggest fights that has ever happened to a hockey
game. It's the second biggest ever.
There have been bench clearing brawls where both sides' benches have emptied out. Now, this is the most penalized.
Oh, okay.
But in terms of actual size of physical violence on the ice, this has been going on in this sport for some time.
But not to this level very often.
All right. You can see the video at kevinandbean.com.
Very often. No, but Mario Lemieux now, former all-star for the Penguins, is now bitching and moaning about how the NHL, his beloved NHL, has dropped the ball and they had a chance to take a stand against violence in hockey and he doesn't know if he can be involved anymore. Wow, wow, wow. He's being just a bitch.
All right. Stand by with that part of the story. You can go to kevinandbean.com. You can see the video. We have a guest on the line to comment on it, but let's hear a little bit of the play-by-play of the fight again between the Penguins and the Islanders.
Just went right after Talbot. That would no doubt be direct retaliation for the Como hit of a week ago. There's more. Dupuis and Josh Bailey. And you know, all of this was predictable. I think that's why there are more people in the stands tonight. Hamonic now and Michael Rupp. And there was a build-up to this game for the last couple of days that hasn't let anyone among the Islander fans here in this building down.
This is old-time hockey, Howie, and look at the fans. You think the fans, look at them. They're cheering, they're on their feet, and they're loving the Islanders.
Yeah. Let's bring a sports writer for the Los Angeles Times into the conversation. Helene Elliott is on the line. Hi, Helene. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm dandy. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
First of all, a woman who loves hockey, you are pretty much perfect already. So thank you for being on the program here.
Could you tell my husband that?
That is a bonus. We will.
So what's your take on this? Ralph alluded to the controversy, especially now that Mario Lemieux from the Penguins ownership has gotten involved, saying he doesn't even recognize the sport that he once loved, and he doesn't know if he wants to be involved in it. But, I mean, this has been going on since there's been hockey, right?
Yeah, and the league, the National Hockey League, has put in all kinds of rules over the years about to eliminate bench clearing brawls. There are more bench clearing brawls in baseball than in hockey.
Thank you.
There we go.
That's because everyone's bored in baseball.
Well, there is that, but still.
So why isn't Hank Aaron crying like a bitch at a microphone like Mario Lemieux is?
Well, I mean, the thing, I respect Mario Lemieux. I mean, this guy has gone through incredible things in his life. He had Hodgkin's. He's had terrible back problems. I mean, the guy has courage, and I respect him enormously. But, I mean, if you're going to criticize the problem, offer a solution. And he hasn't. I mean, he sits there and he goes, well, maybe I don't want to be involved in this anymore. Well, how about suggesting a way to clean up these things? If you don't like what you're seeing, tell the league how to do it better. But he just sits at home and he doesn't go to board of governors meetings, right, and he doesn't offer up any ideas to do it better.
Isn't part of what the backlash against Lemieux is, Helene, that he, the Penguins have major penalty minutes every season. They've got a lot of bruisers, a lot of guys who start and get in fights all the time. So he seems to not mind it so much when it works to his advantage. But when it's a big, heavy fine against his club, now all of a sudden he doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's part of it. And you know, part of the problem, too, is, and, you know, you can debate this, but the Penguins do have a lot of skillful players. And other teams that aren't as good are going to say, okay, let's just go after those skillful players. So that means the other guys on the Penguins, the less skillful players on the Penguins, have to protect their teammates, and that's where a lot of those penalty minutes come in.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's true.
You know, Sidney
Crosby, for example, is on the Penguins, and he's been out with a concussion. And
absolutely, yeah. And, you know, he's one of the faces of the league. He's one of the guys the league loves to promote, and he hasn't played since January 5th.
All right, let me ask you, Helene, and then I'd like to hear from Ralph and Kevin with the answer to the same question. If you were the commissioner and you could lay down a law, how much fighting would you like to see in the NHL?
I could live without it entirely, but I know that'll never happen. There's still that school of thought that fighting is a release valve. You know, you have increasingly bigger, stronger guys on this very small rink in enclosed space, and tensions are going to overflow, and people see fighting as a release valve.
Well, Helene, this is what I think is the problem with the NHL, is that they want it both ways. They know right. That the fans love the fights.
Absolutely.
They know that it sells, and it's a huge draw to the sport that, let's face it, in this current marketplace is struggling to compete against the other major league sports. And so they talk out of both sides of the mouth. They say on one hand, oh, we want to protect the players, we want to decrease the violence in hockey, but on the other hand, they are condoning it by allowing it to continue, and they could have outlawed it years ago.
Absolutely agree with you. I think there's an insecurity in among some of the people who run the game, thinking that, well, maybe it's not good enough as it is to appeal to a lot of people, so we better also appeal to the people who like fighting and keep fighting in the game.
Right. I'd like to see more fighting. That's my answer, B.
Well,
need
Kevin,
a minimum amount of fighting.
And you should be required to fight.
Yes, and one time per game, it has to be everyone on the ice. Like, you just look around and go, all right, you're the other team, let's go.
But, Kevin, you suggest in your blog post, again, where the video is up of this fight that we're discussing at KevinAndBean.com, that maybe it's time to combine the NHL with the UFC, because now you've got something.
No, I'm saying it looks like that, but I'm also saying when two people are fighting, everyone else on the ice is left out, and you don't want to leave people out. I mean, I think that's bad. So include them in the fight as well. I'm down
with
it.
Make it a three-ring circus. Yeah, sure.
Correct.
We're almost out of time here. Again, Helene Elliott is on the line from the Los Angeles Times. We're talking about the hockey brawl last Friday night, Islanders-Penguins. Is this going to be the type of galvanizing moment in the sport like those last couple of high-contact hits were in the NFL, where they went out and changed the rules to prevent it from happening again until they got to the playoffs? Is this going to be the type of thing that we're going to see some repercussions from, or is this just going to fade away and we're on to the next fight?
I think you're absolutely right. It could be and should be a galvanizing moment because the NHL is negotiating its next TV deal, and it has a decision to make. How does it want to be portrayed to America particularly, but it just to sports fans in general? It has a chance to decide which way the game is going to go.
Kevin, would you watch it as much if there weren't fighting?
Yes, I would. Yeah,
I mean, but then you're hardcore. How about you, Ralph?
I don't think it's broken. Fights of this magnitude happen very rarely in the game. Yeah, you get fighting between individual players, but I think that's part of the game. And if Sidney Crosby isn't tough enough to play hockey,
Cindy Crosby, as they call him,
and maybe he's in the wrong sport. Maybe soccer would be more to his liking.
Well, but they did that with Wayne Gretzky. All the great players,
right?
They get taken on by the thugs of the other team.
And that's why you have your goons, and they take care of them. And that's the nature of the sport. Look, I'm a Philadelphia Flyers fan. Can't ask me about violence. Violence and hockey. That's how
your
team was born on that.
Your team started it, didn't
it? Exactly. We invented.
And how did you do against the Kings on Sunday? I forget.
Oh, shut up.
All right. All right. Halid Elliott, we are out of time, I'm sorry to say, but thank you for adding your voice to this conversation. Look for her online and in the paper from the Los Angeles Times. Thanks, Halid.
Thank you.
All right. Even if you don't like hockey, you have to watch the videos.
Yeah, it's a great fight. Even if you don't like hockey, if you like fights, you'll like it.
Unbelievable at KevinAmin.com.
We were joking yesterday about how many categories there are on the Grammys. I think there's 108 different categories. They only gave out 10 awards on the show. The White Stripes won their Grammy on Sunday for the best box set with limited edition packaging.
What?
That was the Grammy that they won.
That's a separate category?
Yes, for their collection called Under the Northern Sky. So congratulations.
They also won a Grammy for losing the worst drummer.
How dare you? Don't be hating on my man.
It's
all right.
Also a category.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's the headline in this article. Soda Pot, California company, creates Canna Cola. Well, you got me interested. We wanted to find out more about this, so we welcome Clay Butler to the Kevin and Bean Show, the brains behind Canna Cola. Hi, Clay. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
We saw your interview in the Santa Cruz Sentinel.
Go Banana Slugs.
And you were... You were talking about, and my first fear when I saw, you know, cannabis cola was that it's going to be one of those that, like the lollipops, it sort of tastes like pop, but there isn't any in it.
Right.
But there is actual weed in this, right? Or THC.
Yes.
How much is in it?
We're still working on that, and we're hoping to have a consistent dose level from manufacturer to manufacturer. And let me
Clay, that sounds a little shaky. You sound like one of those guys going, yeah, we mean to be working on that, but we haven't gotten to it yet, man.
Can't get away from PlayStation.
I can explain it.
Okay.
You see, this product can only be manufactured locally by locally sourced ingredients in each individual state.
Okay.
And some states, like California, is so big, we might have three, one northern, central, and southern California. So they'll be accessing locally grown marijuana in their area, so the strains will vary and the strength will vary, but we're trying to come up with a range that would be an acceptable range within a few milligrams, because since it's not centrally located, you don't have that type of control that, let's say, Coca-Cola would have over their product.
The average dose of medical marijuana is about 25 milligrams. According to this article, a 12-ounce bottle will contain 35 to 65 milligrams of THC. I'd like to suggest you just settle on 65.
Make everybody happy.
Let's move on.
Right. Yeah, we're going to skew on the lower end, and the reason I'll tell you why.
Is that for taste reasons, Clay?
Well, that's part of it, but to us it has to do more with giving people a little more control, and that is medibles take about an hour to really feel the effect, and the last thing we want is somebody to drink one and then go, dude, I don't feel anything, and then they drink another, right?
Yep.
By the time they're three into it, it's been an hour. And now they have three dosages to deal with for the next 6 to 8.
And then they yell, I think I'm going to die. I can't breathe.
Crawl into the bathroom.
Like Lisa.
So you make it very clear on the packaging. You know, we're very clear on the packaging. Drink one, wait an hour. Do not make any decisions.
And it's literally an hour. I mean, it'll be 55 minutes. I don't know how it's timed that way, but it'll be about 55 minutes and you go, nothing.
And in an hour, 60 minutes, boom, it kicks right in. But let me ask a couple of basic questions that I'm sure our listeners are wondering as they listen to you on the phone with us, Clay. And again, Clay is behind a product called Canna Cola. First of all, aren't you going to need a prescription to be able to buy this soft drink just like you would for medical marijuana in states where it's legal?
Absolutely. It's no different than any other medical marijuana product.
How will you ever get that, Bean?
It's impossible to get those prescriptions. And second of all, why do we need a new delivery method for THC? It seems like the ones that we have been fairly effective for, I don't know, a few thousand years.
Well, it actually isn't new. There's smokables and there's edibles.
Right.
How it's kind of always been. And there's a good reason to have two different categories. Some people much prefer the immediate nature of smoking, and it's much easier to control your dose.
Right.
But a lot of people, for very good reasons, don't want to smoke anything because smoking's not good, period. So, and they prefer the longer overall full body effect that they get from an ingestible.
Right, but I think Bean's question was there have been ingestibles and are ingestibles, right. So why a drink now? Why is the drink needed as well? Not that we're down on it, but, you know.
No. Well, there's actually already drinks. This will just be another choice out there.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so are you only going to be able to sell it in states where you can legally get medical marijuana?
Yes.
Okay, and how far along the process are you? I mean, this article that we're looking at, I mean, there's pictures of bottles that look like they're already done. I mean, have you actually made this yet, or is it still in the planning stages?
Halfway between. We're ready. We have some partners lined up in several states already, ready to go. Colorado, we're delaying our production a couple weeks while we see the new bill that was originally intended to ban all edibles.
Right.
And now has been revised, and so we're working through that right now with and all the actually medibles and dispensaries in Colorado are very
gotcha. So you have many different flavors. You have Doc Weed, which is supposedly sort of like Dr. Pepper, yes? Orange yes. Kush, Grape Ape, Sour Diesel, and Canna Cola.
There you go.
And you say in your article, when you were interviewed by the Santa Cruz Sentinel, that you've never tried pot.
True.
Well, how can you make a good product then, Clay?
I'll tell you why.
Don't you think just out of research, you know, so you know what you're talking about? I've tried all of these, and they are good.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll answer in two questions.
All right.
Two answers. One, I do taste the flavors, right? So, and they're very good. But, no, I don't try the THC version because, one, I don't need it, and I don't have a medical marijuana card.
Wait a minute. First of all, everyone needs it.
And here's
Kevin, he doesn't have a medical marijuana card, so therefore you can't have any. You know that,
oh,
Kevin.
Oh, that's true.
But I'll give you a quick analogy. If you were producing a heart medication or a blood thinner or a high blood pressure medication, would you say, hey, why haven't you tried your blood pressure medication? Even though I didn't have high blood pressure problems.
Well,
you wouldn't fault the CEO of a company for not trying his own pharmaceutical.
Right, and that's because blood pressure medication doesn't make Harold and Kumar funnier. That's why.
Right. I mean, heart medicine doesn't feel good.
Right, exactly.
We're just suggesting that you enjoy your life a little here, dude.
I predict, honestly, I'm glad you came on, Clay. I predict that this product will hit the stores about the same time as you finish that book you've always been meaning to read or write, or you learn how to play hacky sack. I think all of those things are on your list of things to do. You just haven't gotten to them yet, but we do wish you well with it.
Oh, it will be in the stores. Don't in the dispensary soon. Don't worry about it.
All right.
DrinkCannaCola.com is the website. Our guest has been Clay Butler on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Somebody's snapping his fingers, and I think it's Ralph Garman in here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin Bean Show.
I was just rocking out. That's all. That's all I was doing. Don't mind me.
With?
You know, with the songs in my head.
Okay, good.
I got songs in my head.
Yeah.
You know what they are mostly these days? DeBarge songs.
Stop acting
DeBarge.
Like
sad news about L. DeBarge, you know, the greatest of all the DeBarges.
I don't have that category.
Yes, you do. We all do.
I don't care about any of the DeBarges.
He has checked himself into rehab. 49-year-old legend.
That was half-hearted.
He's putting his comeback on hold, he says, until he deals with his many years of substance abuse. He will be sorely missed until he returns.
Did you say comeback?
Yes. He released his first album in 16 years in November, Second Chance, it's called.
And it took over the world.
You know, he was in prison for 2 years after he was arrested for drug possession in 2008.
No kidding.
So he really needs to get his act together and then get back to making great music like this. screw it up once and then go back and take another bite of the apple and then play it again.
Mike took the first
really,
bite.
Really, once you've sort of burned that, don't you have to play the real
play
song?
For real?
Yeah.
All right.
There's no way you like that.
I just don't want to lose him the way we lost Michael. That's all I'm concerned about. I just want him to stay safe. I want him to check into Charlie Sheen's house and get some help.
That's where all the good work is being
done. That's
where
the real rehab's being done. Whatever with your Dr. Drew. I'm saying Charlie Sheen is on the cutting edge of treatment and therapy for drug addiction.
Yep.
It's all happening at Sheen's place, which is the name of his new sitcom. Have you heard the interview with the Dan Patrick Show?
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about it. He got the scoop. Dan Patrick got the scoop. Talked to Charlie Sheen for the first time since he got into all that trouble for that party, and then Two and a Half Men went on hiatus. And it's about a half an hour interview. There's a lot in it. But
we have two clips. We have the one we played before, and then we have the crack pipe.
Oh, you have the new one? Yeah. Oh, that Omar. He does good work.
Yeah.
Last hour we played him talking about the fact that he wants to get back to work and it's a forced hiatus and he's sort of blaming his bosses over Two and a Half Men.
He says he showed up and there was no one there.
You know, that was sort of a joke. He said he was pounding on the door and no one was there. But he's bitter about the fact that they're not in production. And he says he's 100% healthy. He's been sober now for 2 weeks. Get me while I'm sober, basically, is what he's saying. Let's do it now.
Bring it,
so then
said.
I can go back to, you know, smoking crack and, you know, banging porn stars.
Right.
Well, they were talking in the Dan Patrick interview about his conversation with the UCLA baseball team, where he jokingly said, don't do crack, drink chocolate milk instead. And he has an interesting take on the usage of crack cocaine.
So I said, stay away from the crack, which I think is pretty good advice. Unless you can manage it socially, Dan. If you can manage it socially, then go for it. But not a lot of people can, you know?
Did you think you could? Did you think you could?
Yeah, but that kind of blew up in my face. An exploding crack pipe, Dan. Sorry.
But you're clean, though, now, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Being clean. I just said pee on your show. Sorry, man. So with me, we just got cut off. FCC just bombed us.
No, pee's okay.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but you're clean. You feeling better? I mean,
I feel great, man. I feel great. I'm just here. I am here and ready.
He's here and ready.
Uh-huh.
He's tanned, he's rested, he's ready. Let's get back to work. Sure, he's lost most of his teeth due to his crack smoking. And sure, he still thinks he can handle it socially. But he's ready. He is now all better.
When Dad Patrick says, did you think you could handle it? And he says, I'm sorry, what? That, by the way, he's just stalling so he can think of a good answer for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I agree with you, Ralph, what you said earlier, which is a little less levity and a little more honesty from Charlie Sheen would be appreciated at this point. A little more hard-hitting humility, maybe, and a deep, dark look at yourself rather than just kind of play it off like you're still that guy in the Ferris Bueller movie where, you know, everything rolls off you.
Yep. Well, everything does roll off.
I don't think he thinks he has a problem. I mean, it sounds to me like he thinks he's fine and
this all goes back
blown out of proportion.
This all goes back to that text he sent, which was, why can't a guy get loaded and still do his job? That's where he thinks he's at now. He thinks he should be able to go to work and do that and then go back to his mansion and smoke his crack and hang out with his porn stars and do that. He thinks he should have the ability to do both.
Right.
Because he can handle crack socially. And as you know, crack is just a very casual drug. It really is.
Crack is whack, is what I hear.
That's right.
If you could really learn how to pair it with the right foods and stuff.
It's a lifestyle choice. That's all.
Hey, speaking of crack is whack, Psycho Mike, when you were at that Clive Davis party the other night, was Whitney Houston there?
Yes, I believe so.
How's she look? Has she recovered?
No.
She got seriously damaged by the crack.
She looks better than she did the last time we saw her publicly perform. But, mm-hmm. I mean, she's not like Whitney the way we know her. And she certainly doesn't sing like Whitney as we
know. Was she still sweating furiously?
No, she didn't. She didn't have that over-the-top, like a street dweller look. But she's just not the same. I don't think she'll ever be the same.
Crack is serious stuff. I think that's the point.
It's whack.
Yeah. It is
but
whack.
We've said.
Don't do it.
But Whitney always said she didn't do the crack. She did the coke. Because she's a high-end drug user. She doesn't do the crack. As crack is whack.
But look at her. That destroyed her as well.
Don't you look at her. Don't tell me what to
do. I don't want to.
All right. Take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Amber Riley. She plays Mercedes on Glee. She's 25 years old. Would you like to ride in her Mercedes, boy?
Oh,
I'm just curious, Kevin.
God.
I'm asking you a question. I am just
when
asking you a
Bean
question.
Bean says...
Was that a Pebbles
reference
in the same Showbiz Report where you talked about DeBarge for 20 minutes?
Bean is too busy beeping off. He's not listening to this this Showbiz Report.
Is this a flashback to 1987? Is that what's happening right now?
Ronnie Vannucci. Hey, Vannucci. Come over here, Vannucci. He's the drummer for the Killers. He's 35 years old today. Brandon Boyd of Incubus also turns 35. Alex Borstein, my buddy from Family Guy. She plays Lois Griffin on that show. Does many other funny voices as well. 40 years old. Janice Dickinson turns 56 years old. And Matt Groening of The Simpsons fame. He created that long-running TV show. He's 57 years old. Oh, I've got things to give away.
Oh.
We got real quick. I've got passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of a hilarious comedy called Hall Pass. Stars Jason Sudeikis and Owen Wilson. Jenna Fisher also stars in this film.
All right.
Looks very funny. If you'd like to go and see it before anybody else at the Red Carpet World Premiere, where all the stars watch it as well, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers to get through, we get a pair of passes to attend the Red Carpet World Premiere. It's just that simple. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on, you love the Mumford, you love the Sons, you especially love the banjo,
I
Kevin.
Love any song with banjo in it.
Let me tell you something about this Mumford and Sons, who, by the way, you saw performing on the Grammys the other night. Well, the night before, they did a special show for K-Rock and a few select listeners, and they filmed that whole thing, don't you know? And it's up at K-Rock.com where you can actually see it, and they performed a brand new song in their set.
How about that?
So if you're a Mumford fan, if you got the Mumford fever, you go to krock.com and you can check that out. Just do a search for what? What are you laughing about?
Mumford fever.
Just do a search for Mumford and Sons, and you'll see that from krock.com. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:25.
All right. Kevin and Bean, Afro line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic. If something strikes you or something we're talking about angers you, whatever. You can leave us a message. Lisa May does commercials for Pro Flowers and mm-hmm. has, I guess, a code that people can put in.
My name?
Yeah.
Hey, Traffic Girl. So I logged on to proflowers.com, and I clicked on the microphone to get this discount to send my beautiful girlfriend some flowers, but I don't get a discount. I tried Kelly, Tammy. What the f***?
That's a good question.
I think names.
The problem is Lisa has too many nicknames over the years, yeah. But Lisa, apparently, is it Lisa or Lisa May that
Lisa
you want
May.
People to
edit?
That's right. The one that actually works.
So the actual right name is helpful if you want to put in the code and have it work.
Right.
Sure.
All right. This could be about anything. I wish more specifics were given, but they're not.
Kevin Bean Show. Woo.
Right. All right. I agree with him. Well, I'm just not sure what part. Psycho Mike, remember being back when Psycho Mike used to be quiet? Remember that?
I do. All those were, that was heaven back then.
Good time.
Psycho Mike, shut up. Please, shut up. Shut up. Shut it up. Shut it up. You talk too much. Your stories. Oh, my God. I'm dying.
Mike, when Mike first started working on our show, he would run the controls for the program like he does now. He's our technical behind-the-scenes guy. And he was great. And we loved him so much because he never said a word. He just showed up and he did his job and he went around his business and then he went home.
We almost
it was great.
Couldn't get him to talk.
Yeah. And here we are trying to draw him out, trying to make him more. Hey, Mike, feel free to chime in. Hey, feel free to be part of the conversation.
Dumb us.
Boy, was that a mistake. Boy, do I wish we could go back in time.
We're big fans of the Black Keys, and we're big fans of the Black Keys even after the interview that happened last week. It wasn't the most energetic guest that we've ever had, but we blame that on ourselves.
We got the Black Keys in the studio. Please tell us about yourself. Well, this interview's exhausting. I don't think we could play Coachella now.
I think that was part of the problem, is the Black Keys are very energetic on stage. I think they leave it on the stage, and then they're a little bit tired with everything else they do. So maybe they just weren't feeling up to the amount of energy needed to make a compelling radio interview on our show.
They still make great music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that doesn't necessarily always translate.
Black Keys, the interview killers.
Okay, they're piling on now.
Ralph was mouthing off on Friday about his Philadelphia Flyers. who are in second place in the NHL, by the way. And they were playing the Kings, my team, on Sunday. And he wanted to bet. And I said, okay, let's bet. Well, I didn't really say that. But this girl wanted him to know that the Kings did win 1-0.
How do you spell shut out? Ralph's Flyers suck. Chris Pronger suck. Philadelphia suck. Go Kings. Go Kings. Go, go, go Kings.
Those are your people right there, Kevin.
Look, we are firmly in, like, 14th place. Or 13th. I don't know. But we're coming for you, Flyers, in second.
That's what I always love about sports fans, by the way. No matter how good a team is, no matter how much of a history they have as winners,
yeah,
you can still yell at them that they suck.
Right. Yeah, you hear people yell that at Sidney Crosby. Let's be honest. You can hate him.
He doesn't suck. He doesn't suck. Right.
But we're not exactly tearing it up yet, but we're on our way. Sure, Arizona's ahead of us and San Jose is ahead of us. Sure, all that's true, but we're on our way. We made a good start. This is bad parenting, if you ask me.
Hey, Kevin and B, my name is Becca. I'm in fifth grade, and my dad makes me listen to you every day on the way to school. He's a long-time big fan of you. What did you do?
Oh, what grade is she in? Did she say third or fifth?
I think she said fifth.
Child abuse. Yeah. Seriously, take that poor girl away from her family. That's terrible.
Hey, Kevin and B, my name is Becca. I'm in fifth grade, and my dad makes me listen to you every day on the way to school. He's a long-time big fan of you. What did you do?
That is emotional abuse. I'm so sorry for you, sweetheart.
I'm getting schooled by a fifth grader, too.
Yes, you are.
Come on now. 323-520-AFRO if you have a topic any other than that or her.
Hey, party people, this is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us now for our final look at the showbiz beat on the show. What's going on?
So I'm listening to a commercial that's running here on our station.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I hear your friend Bean, Kevin.
Yeah.
Saying,
hey, how could something be easy as pie and also be a piece of cake? Aren't those two desserts mortal enemies?
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, out loud where everybody can hear it.
Was he selling a pie crust? What?
No. He was selling a system where you can get to your computer from anywhere.
And go to mypc.com, Ralph. Thank you for mentioning that.
But did you say that?
I did. I was...
Piece of cake.
I think I'm understanding because I believe it started as, this has been bothering me. This has been keeping me up at night.
Yes, it has.
But how could something be easy as pie and a piece of cake? Well, you know, two dessert treats, mortal enemies.
I'm fascinated with the English language too, and contrary expressions that seems like they shouldn't both be applicable concern me. Like, I don't like the fact that something that's a fat chance of happening is the same as something that's being a slim chance of happening. That bugs me.
And
because
here's our point:
they're opposites.
George Carlin could make that funny.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
Yes, you were when you said, aren't those two desserts mortal enemies? That wasn't a joke?
That wasn't a joke.
You
that was a statement of fact.
You think they have animosity against
each
other?
That was a statement of fact.
You think pie and cake really don't like each other?
Yes, I do.
When I get pie alone, I'm going to stab him right in the back.
I don't even leave them in the kitchen together for fear of war.
Yes, I do.
You're trying to be funny, and George Carlin, you're not.
Certainly.
Know your limitations.
I'm just saying. It's disheartening when you hear
that. In Ralph's defense, he is just saying.
What happened on Jeopardy last night? Did Watson the computer beat the other two geeks?
Watson tied with the all-time moneymaker on Jeopardy, the past champion who came back. But they left Ken Jennings seriously in third place.
Smoked.
Who's Watson? Yeah. What's that?
Watson is the new computer from IBM that took 5 years to build and was built solely for the purpose of playing on Jeopardy.
Well, how is it not destroying then?
I don't know.
Because it can't reach up and hit the button?
Because it can't
do
it.
It's not.
It can't hold the plunger to buzz in.
How does it buzz in?
I don't understand Daily Double.
The limitations that it has are basically it doesn't understand language as well as humans do. For instance, if the question involves somebody running against something, it doesn't automatically know that running against can mean in a political term or it can be in a foot race term. I mean, sometimes it doesn't understand or misinterprets a question because the English language is so
complicated. You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
Probably doesn't understand some of those puns they put in there either.
Yes, that's exactly right. And here's another thing. This is a glitch that was revealed on the show last night. The category was name the decade, and Ken Jennings buzzes in, and he says the 1920s. No.
Then Watson buzzes in and he says the 1920s. apparently they forgot to teach it that if somebody else has already said an answer, it's off the board.
Ha! Dumb computer!
Stupid fucking adult.
Already said it.
So it continues tonight on Jeopardy. But I thought it was an interesting experiment.
The computer, apparently, one of the questions was very confused. It says, why do pie and cake not like each other? Couldn't understand that. Why?
I was awake last night.
Oh, kept me up all night.
But stop. I think the reason they do it not because it's Jeopardy, but they do it because they're trying to advance artificial intelligence in computers so that they can better respond to humans. There's a lot of uses for a robot like that.
We don't need
Stop it.
They're too goddamn smart as it is, those computers and machines. It's getting to scary time. It's getting to Skynet time. It's getting to I'll be back. It's getting to Terminators, Rise of the Machines. We don't need that in our lives. We've got enough problems. For instance, Die Hard 5 is in the works.
Yeah! No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
4 was good.
20th Century Fox has announced they have picked a director, and they're currently negotiating with Bruce Willis to star in Die Hard 5.
Hmm. Now, are you encouraged, though? Because, as Kevin said, Die Hard 4 was a pretty good, entertaining movie.
4 was only good in comparison to 3, and not nearly 1.
And 3 was only good in comparison to 2. 2 was the worst.
2 wasn't the worst. It was 3 was the worst.
Was it?
Yeah, I think 3 was
the worst. One where they're landing the plane, and they messed with the elevation so that the plane thought it had a lot of space.
That was 3.
That was 3.
Yeah.
Okay, that one was the worst.
That was the worst, right. Yeah.
Is Smitty coming back for Die Hard 5?
I don't think he'll be working with Warlock? Mr. Willis again. I don't think they'll be
probably
co-starring.
Not anytime soon.
Radiohead wants you to know that they're having their 8th studio album releasing starting this Saturday. If you're a Radiohead fan, you go to the band's official website. The name is The King of Limbs.
Yeah.
It's the name of their new album. You can pre-order it. You can download it on Saturday, but you can pre-order a deluxe set, which includes 2 10-inch vinyl records, a CD, your choice of the MP3 or WAV download, special art that looks like a newspaper, and other special radio
gadgets. I can get art that looks like a newspaper?
Yes, you can. So if you're a diehard Radiohead fan, you want to check into
that. Radiohead's in Diehard?
Oh, Gilligan. Are Miley Cyrus and John Mayer an item? Is she the next conquest for the loving Mr. Mayor? Psycho Mike was there. He witnessed the event that the New York Times is talking about. Apparently, they were flirting and chatting, and she was strutting her stuff in front of him at a pre-Grammy party. And this reporter says he seemed quite impressed with
Mike,
the young
you saw
lady.
This?
But Mike saw happen, and he does not seem to share that view.
It seemed like he was interested in the conversation, and he was being
How
a nice
can that
guy.
Be? She's Miley Cyrus.
I
know you're lying, because there's no possible way he could be interested in a conversation with that girl.
It seemed like they were getting along, but it did not seem like to me he was going to take her home after, and he was. I mean, because he's John Mayer, and he probably had a lot of
choices
of other hotter girls there.
But
yeah,
she's pretty cool. I'd say pretty cool.
Yeah,
she's pretty cool. She's pretty cool.
Did she bring her bong to the party?
No, but she was.
No salvia?
I mean, maybe I'm being a little nitpicky, but she was chewing gum. That bugged me.
That's
it was a black
cool.
tie event.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I love that sketch they do on Saturday Night Live. So funny. She's going to be on that show. I hope they have her playing someone else on the Miley Cyrus show, being interviewed by the girl who plays Miley.
That'd be funny.
That'd be awesome. Charlie Sheen's the man.
Therefore, they won't do it.
That's right. Charlie Sheen's the man.
Why is he the man?
If by man you mean totally deluded, drug-addled douchebag.
He should do himself a favor and stop talking.
He really should. He was on the Dan Patrick radio program this week. This after the news, by the way, that his Triple X star girl, Casey Jordan, who was in his house, she's pregnant. But she doesn't think the baby's his.
But she doesn't know.
No, how would she know? It's like knowing what train you left your wallet on in New York. Or what cab, you know? There's so much coming and going there, you really don't know where you're going to be able to find that particular lost article. Oh, I left my laptop in a cab in Manhattan. Which one? One of those?
One of the yellow ones?
One of the yellow ones that takes people places? That's how Casey Jordan is with Gentleman Callers.
So it's possible.
Gentleman Callers.
It's possible it is his.
Anything's
as
possible.
As well, okay.
I think it's...
Is it possible that it's yours?
It's very possible.
All right.
It's getting more and more possible the more I hear him talk. Here he is from the Dan Patrick Show. Which clip do we have loaded up here first? Is this...
We have either one.
You have either one?
Yeah.
Let's talk to the one where he thinks that crack is a social drug.
So I said, stay away from the crack, which I think is pretty good advice. Unless you can manage it socially, Dan. If you can manage it socially, then go for it. But not a lot of people can, you know?
Did you think you could?
Sorry?
Did you think you could?
Yeah, but that kind of blew up in my face. An exploding crack pipe, Dan. Sorry.
But you're clean, though, now, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Pee and clean. I just said pee on your show. Sorry, man. Still with me? We just got cut off. FCC just bombed us.
No, pee's okay.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but you're clean. You feeling better? I mean,
I feel great, man. I feel great. I'm just here. I am here and ready.
Let's get back to work.
I feel great.
You must get back to work. Listen, Mike, you would know better. Now you're in recovery yourself. You work with the celebrated Dr. Drew on the nationally syndicated radio program Loveline.
Yes.
Is crack known to be a sort of a social recreational drug of choice for people?
No.
I was a
big fan of the crack. That was my drug of choice.
And
I'll tell you. You know how you go to like BevMo or something and you'll buy some wine for later?
Right.
You don't do that with crack. You buy crack for now.
Do they ever have 5 cent sales like BevMo has when you're buying crack?
Every once in a while, we'll kick you down a deal.
That'd be a good deal. Yeah. So Charlie's well on his way to being healthy.
Yeah.
And more bad news. Roseanne Barr is going to come back to television.
Yeah.
Nope.
Woo!
Nope.
She's just announced a comedic reality series for Lifetime. Well, good. It's on Lifetime, so there's no chance of me accidentally bumping into this show at any time. She will. It'll be a comedic reality series about her managing her 40-acre macadamia nut farm in Hawaii.
No, stop lying.
No, all those words put together. Just there's no way that's all true.
True. Here is a piece of Roseanne's press release. They've said Roseanne's nuts for years. Says Roseanne.
Come on.
Now I'm going to make that a reality. I'm all about nuts now. Macadamia nuts.
Nuts.
Who wrote that? Me?
No, Roseanne Barr did.
A second grader?
I'd be kept up late at night. Why is Roseanne so nuts?
Nuts.
Yeah, so you got that going for you.
A nut that's almost too good to share.
I share my nuts. Sometimes. Yeah. It's 10:54.
Yep. Lisa shares her
all
nuts.
All right.
Yeah.
With Roseanne.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Amber Riley from Glee. She plays Mercedes on that television program. She's 25 years old. Ronnie Vannucci from The Killers. He's the drummer. He's 35. Brandon Boyd of Incubus celebrates his 35th birthday as well. My pal Alex Borstein from Family Guy turns 40 years old today. Happy birthday, Alex. Janice Dickinson from America's Next Top Model is 56. Matt Groening, who gave us The Simpsons, turns 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Right, Lisa.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Phil Kogan, who is the host of The Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yes.
They are coming back with some kind of, it looks like a best of competitors or something.
One of their greatest hit shows. They're bringing back some of the famous people who played the game before.
We have Adam Carolla on tomorrow's show with This Week in Rage. We have MILFs that you're sort of alone in liking. You're attracted to this MILF, but your friends aren't really buying it as much.
Probably most MILFs are that way, I think.
I would guess, yeah.
Because it's got to be something extra other than just physical attraction to get you there, because most MILFs, as they get older, aren't as attractive as young women.
And you've learned through time that you just don't bring that one up so much.
But she does it for you when you see her on television and movies.
We brought this up yesterday, Ralph, and maybe you got the email, too, from somebody who sent along the bikini picture of Helen Mirren, who's got to be, she's got to be 60, right?
Yeah. Bean is not allowed in this conversation.
Well, no, hold on, I'm talking about a listener who sent it on, and I thought, yeah, if he's 20 or something like that, he would have a hard time getting his friends to believe that he's really into Helen Mirren, but yeah. I can see why he would feel that way. She looks fantastic. Mm.
Bean's not allowed to talk, right?
I'm not allowed to play.
Okay.
He can't volunteer his choices, that's for sure.
And in the category of why so soon, we have Antoine Dodson. So that's coming up tomorrow.
Again? We're talking to him again?
That's coming
up. We talk to him every day since he's been looking for that rapist.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah.
So that's all tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean.